Welcome, everybody, to episode 540 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold. Gentlemen, how are you? I mean, don't everybody speak at once?
Hello? I'm fine.
Okay. I think Breakman's got his mic on mute. I think that's what I'm seeing on the screen here. But cool. Yeah.
There you go.
It's going to be a big show today, guys. We were talking a little bit off air. We're having a special guest, Adam Whitlatch, author of War of the Worlds, Goliath, the Weller series. He's got a new RPG coming out. So we'll talk a little bit about that later on in the show after we get done with the news. But Breakman, did you have a good week?
Sure, why not?
Sure, why not? I mean, why not? You sound so excited to be here.
Sure,
you are. Eric, how was your week, man? I know you were kind of like indifferent, but anything exciting happened during the week?
I saw an indecent anime movie.
I thought you were gonna say I saw Indecent Proposal, which is a pretty decent movie.
But, it was all right.
Yeah, it was all right, man. I mean, come on. You got to have a little variety in your life, man. You know, I mean, a little, you know, variety never hurts, man. All right, guys, we got
to... There was a great joke about that. Like, you ever seen the movie Indecent Proposal, like, where the some guy offers another guy $1 million to sleep with his wife? Fuck that. I'll do it for $50,000. Like, I'll give him a hand job or something. I'll do whatever he wants. Like, fuck her. She can't have no
line. I saw the very end of that movie, but that was it.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's a decent movie. It posed a lot of really good questions for a relationship. But I agree with you, Brake, man. 50 grand, man. I'm in. I'll do it for 50 grand, man.
Not gay, but for 50 grand. Like, you know, that's a lot of money.
Sure
it's
is.
It's a hard
man.
Job, but somebody's got to do it, right?
Hard blow job, probably. All right, man. Let's get started with
RPG News.
I was going to try to do it live, but the recording preempted me. Let's start with the news. Eric, let's get started. We got to get through this news.
Okay. Frank's very favorite game ever.
Oh, my
Wizardry.
God.
Wizardry. The Labyrinth of Lost Souls, the one that you raged against so many years ago.
Yes.
Launched for PC on May 29th. It's hitting the Humble Store as well as Steam.
Yeah.
And selling for €14.99. €14.99 and £12.99.
Yeah.
And there'll be a launch week of discount of 10% off. And, I'm guessing that's the price without the discount, but it also has a few new additions from the PS really, such as support for multiple resolutions, so the game's actually in HD this time, because apparently it wasn't before.
Mm.
But and a turbo mode, mouse and keyboard control, so if the game felt too slow for you, you could turn turbo mode on, the speed battles up. And all the DLC that was in that was available for the game be available from the start. You don't have to buy them, and that includes a level cap that goes up to 99 instead of just 50.
Yeah, I did rail against this game, but whatevs, man. I mean, I really want.
Well, if it's on PC, the modding community can make it less bullshit.
Yeah, for sure. I want a Tales of the Forsaken Land remake. I mean, that game was so underrated. Like, I used to play the shit out of that PS2 game. And it was kind of an outlier in the Wizardry series, but it had a really good jazz soundtrack. I mean, that sounds strange, but it just fucking worked for that game, and the artwork was fantastic. I liked the story okay, and the music to me was really, really cool. But I don't know. I'm indifferent about this. I think it's okay, but yeah, like you said, Eric, the PC community can take care of business with this game and get it to where it really should be. So. Good on them for that. Anything else on that? Any thoughts on that?
Not really.
Yeah, you break? Nothing?
You remember when they used to pack, like, PC demos and PC games in magazines? PC magazines?
Yes,
PC Gamer?
Yeah, like PC Gamer and that. Like, that was my first experience of Wizardry.
Yeah.
One of those magazines had a full copy of one of the early Wizardries, and I could never get it to fucking work.
Was your computer too advanced at that point or something?
Or not advanced enough, probably.
I don't know what it was, but I could not, like, I reconfigured video cards, got into I did so much fucking change trying to adjust and get that to work, and I could never get it to work.
That's the problem with PC
gaming. All you need now is a DOS box, and you can probably run it no problem.
Yeah,
probably. I mean, that's one of the things that really pushed me towards, like, wanting to prefer console gaming.
Yeah, I agree.
And not only did I start out with console gaming, it's just that I've never had a problem, like, putting a game in there and having to, you know, get it to frickin' work, other than the NES games, but that was a different story.
Yeah, for sure. Apex
Pro... Well, it's a lot easier today than it was in the 90s, so...
Yeah.
Apex Pro communities in chat. Welcome, Apex Pro. Avocado Badado is in chat. I love that name. Welcome back, Avocado Badado. Commander Roots in chat. Of course, Bernie's in there. S1Faka. I don't know how to say that. And Slow Cool, welcome on in, everybody. We're gonna have special guests later on the show. You'll really enjoy it. All right, Breakman, next story.
Coming to us live from RPG site, SteamWorld Quest: Hand of Gilgamesh launches for PC on May 31st. Okay, in our review, we found that the SteamWorld Quest incorporated thorough and engaging card mechanics, although we took slight issue with the pace of the game.
Ooh.
To try over evil with the hand you're dealt. SteamWorld Quest is a role-playing card game you've been waiting for.
Very
full of ourselves in the first sentence there. Lead a party of aspiring heroes through a beautifully hand-drawn world and intense battles using only your wits and a handful of cards. What were you going to say, Frank? I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, like, the minute that you said cards, I was like, I'm out. You know, it's like...
Right. it depends. Like, for instance, South Park, the game that I play on Link every day, could technically be called, like, a card game, but it's not... Like, you're not, like, playing cards in a traditional sense. You're just picking what's going to be next on your battlefield, basically.
Yeah.
So, like, it's really vague, I think, when they say card-based anymore. So I kind of need more.
Cards are your actual attacks and spells and shit, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a real
truth. We're out. Me and Frank are out.
Yeah, I'm definitely out, man. I mean, the artwork looks good. I mean, it's...
You should play the game. It's pretty fun.
Maybe. I trust you, Eric. I mean, I'll give
it. It's like there's no MP. Like, what you have is like steam power, so it's like AP, yeah. And they have a certain cost, and you build up AP by using cards that have less than zero AP cost.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's
this is gonna be for Linux too. That's interesting.
Yeah. And Mac, but I don't know. Maybe. And
people don't play games on Macs.
I know.
Do people even own Macs anymore? Like, is it all like?
I own a Mac, man. I'm all Apple.
It's all like iPods and stuff now.
No, I own.
I'm sure this will get ported to mobile at some point too.
Do you have the E machine?
No. Fuck off, man. E-machine, son of a bitch.
E-machine.
All right.
Apple IIe.
Yeah, exactly. I got the Apple IIe. Exactly. All right, next story comes to us from RPGsite.net. Free-to-play MMORPG Caravan Stories launches on July 23rd in North America. And that's about it, unless you guys want a...
Wow, that's a detailed story.
Yeah. Launches, there you go.
I really hope that guy's not getting paid by the words.
I know. Open beta will also be held the week before, starting on July 16th. New trailer and a set of screenshots can be seen below. Looks good. The artwork looks good. I mean, but MMORPG, I don't know. But it looks good. looks good. That's all I can say. That's all I think we should say about this. I did notice there was Winnie the Pooh hidden in this trailer, though. It was kind of weird.
The hell?
It was like a monster, but it had like a Winnie the Pooh body. It was kind of creepy. Huh. All right, Eric, next story, please.
Next story is about how Nier Automata is past 4 million total worldwide sales. That's a story, really.
Wow, we got some scintillating stories for everybody this week. That's awesome, man. But yeah, that's cool.
It only took 2 years.
I like this because Nier was kind of like a hit. Like nobody really expected it to be that.
Four million, you think, is only kind of a hit?
No, I'm saying it's a hit. Like that's a hit for sure. But nobody expected it to do those numbers at all, Brake.
At least it's not like Squinix numbers. Like they'd be like, man, this is the biggest failure we've ever had.
Yeah.
No, I think they decided to hold their tongue on this and not overpromise to investors.
Yeah, which is a good thing. Like anytime
you finally.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. That's it's good news. I'm glad an IP like this finally got a chance to shine and people really dug it, and you know, kudos to the team that put that game together, because it's a fantastic game. I haven't played all the way through, but I played a little bit of it, and it's
I'm pretty sure the extra million helped when the Xbox One version came out last year.
Well, I'm sure, and that's fine. That's good stuff. Good stuff. All right, Breakman, what do we got next?
Coming to us live from Silicon Era. Don Machi's PS4 and PS Vita dungeon RPG delayed from spring 2019 to 2019 release window to a 2019 release window in Japan. Vegas, fuck. Is it wrong to try and pick up girls in a dungeon? Announced its dungeon RPG back in June 2017. Holy shit. No, it's not wrong.
No, definitely.
I mean, love can bloom on the battlefield. The snake taught us that.
Well, according to Pat Benatar, love is a battlefield. So
it's true. She's right about that.
She's right.
And I mean, where else are you going to do it? Like, you're going to do it at grocery stores? Like, I've heard people, like, they pick women up at grocery stores. That sounds creepy. She's out there, like, looking at cereal and shit. Hey, what's going on? What the fuck? Get away from me.
Exactly. Exactly.
So the game, the information comes from the game's official website, which previously had a spring, blah, blah, blah. Why am I repeating myself? This guy must get paid by the word. is it wrong to pick up girls in a dungeon? Infinite Combat releases in Japan in 2019, which was, you know, what the fuck? Basically, they just repeated themselves through this whole article.
Yeah. I mean, they did get paid by the word.
They stretched their, like, that is amazing how they stretched that out in the four paragraphs.
Yeah. I like the name of that, though. Is it wrong to pick up girls in a dungeon? That's
I know that's a show you can watch on Crunchyroll.
Is it good? Have you seen it, Eric?
I've heard good things.
Did they pick up the girls?
It's technically on HiDive, and if you want to watch it, the Japanese version, you can watch it on Crunchyroll. But if you want to watch the English dub, you can watch it on HiDive or Verve.
Mm. I mean, it makes sense. Like you want to date girls with common interest, right? If she's interested in killing people like you, like, I mean, there you go. You got a common interest.
Or you mean monsters, because there's a dungeon.
Killing monsters.
You're probably fighting monsters more than you are people.
No. I mean, I want them to fight people, too, because, you know, I'm sadistic like that. You know?
Yeah, like, people like Nazis.
Yeah, exactly.
People deserve it more than monsters.
Nazis are probably in dungeons anyway, because they're looking for relics.
I agree with you.
Have you looked around the world lately? People deserve it more than monsters.
You're absolutely correct, Breakman. People
are monsters.
Yeah, that's true too. I mean, nothing you guys have said in the past like 2 minutes has been untrue, which is a record for both of you, I think. So, you know.
Sorry,
I'm in my
throat.
No, I just
like
the.
If it's old, that'd be true.
Yeah, I just like the name. I think that's cool. Is it wrong to try to pick up girls in a dungeon? That's
I think we all agree. No, it's not.
No, I don't think it's wrong anywhere. But, you know, I mean, funerals, I mean, go for it. Weddings, including.
I heard there was a parody of Wedding Crashers I heard called Funeral Crashers.
They pick up chicks at funerals. That would be pretty funny. They should do a sequel of Wedding Crashers and call it Funeral Crashers.
As long as it doesn't have either of those two guys in the movie.
I like that movie, actually. It's pretty fun. All right. Who's next? Me? I think it's me. Next story comes.
What was it? Owen Wilson and then the other Wilson?
No, it's Vince Vaughn.
What's his name?
Vince Vaughn.
Guy who plays himself in about every single movie.
Yeah, Vince Vaughn. Next story comes to us from...
Can he act or does he just play himself? I mean, I really haven't seen him play a character other than...
himself?
Norman Bates. That was terrible.
Oh, God.
No, that's a good point. He did do that, and that was just basically a shot-for-shot remake.
Yeah, and it was terrible. It was a terrible... That whole movie is an abomination. But anyways, speaking of abominations, Silicon Era.
But Anne Hesh did show her butthole in it.
That's true. All right, coming to us live from Silicon Era, P-Cube is handling the Dusk Diver Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4 release. Earlier May 2019, we learned that Dusk Diver would be leaping onto the Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. Now we know more about the how part of the equation. P-Cube is in charge of publishing, and the company has noted that digital and physical copies will be available in fall 2019. To accompany the news, P-Cube opened a Dusk Diver console version website and released an announcement trailer. In it, we get to see Yang Yumo ride through Jimending, whatever that means, and take on the various enemies leaking into the area through dimensional rifts. It doesn't matter if the enemies are gods or phantoms. It is a Musou style action RPG with multiple playable guardians. Here's the trailer, which I'm playing for the live audience if you're looking now. And it's got what do they call that? Cel-shaded kind of art style, which looks kind of cool. So Dusk Diver is immediately available for PCs via early Steam access. It will come to the Nintendo Switch and PS4 in North America and Europe in fall 2019. Eric, you interested in this?
Somewhat, because it's a Musou game.
Yeah, I figured you would be. It looks all right. I mean, the art style's... I mean, I always talk about art style.
And if a Taiwan studio can do a good game, that'd be great for Taiwan, because a lot of the games I've played from there haven't been that great.
Yeah, P-Cube hasn't been exactly known for great stuff, so I don't know. Maybe this one will be good. We'll give it a shot.
What are you talking about? P-Cube. You have not played a goddamn thing from that company.
P-Cube? Are you kidding? Don't you remember the 70s hits Galaga and Pac-Man from P-Cube, Eric?
I'm pretty sure that was...
You're a son of a bitch, Eric. Next story.
He got really mad there. Like, that was pretty funny from my point of view. I'm sorry. But, like, just like, you son of a bitch, you lying motherfucker.
No, I'm never mad on this show, man.
No, come on, Eric. I'm sorry to kill you, man. You lied, and he wasn't happy.
What has P-Cube game done? I've seen games from P-Cube before. Hold on.
They did Song of Memories, which I have a review up. And it's a so-so game. I mean, if it weren't for the massive typos, I would have given it a 7 instead of a 6.
Okay.
But I think that's not P-Cube's fault. They didn't do the localization because it got released on PC first.
Okay, Eric, since you're Mr. Smarty Pants, they did Galgun, all right, the immortal Galgun. Here's another one they did, Cat Quest. Did you ever play Cat Quest, Eric?
That was a fun game.
Yeah. Blaze Blue. I played Blaze Blue. That's pretty fun.
There was also Chaos Child, and there's a couple other visual novels they did, like Steins Gate.
Galgun, White Bay.
Good visual novel, you should play that.
Agalos, Our World Is Ended.
Galgun, take me away.
Galgun, take me away.
I've also got two games I need to review for them over the weekend.
Okay.
Maybe, if I can actually find room for it, because...
Yeah. Did we lose you, Eric? Can you all hear me? I think we lost Eric. I think we lost Eric and Breakman. Yeah. I'm calling them back. I don't know if you hear that. That's going to be one of those. There we go. We got you back, Eric. Do we have Breakman?
Are we cutting out?
Yeah, you guys were cutting out. That's okay. We got you back. Is Breakman on the line?
In and out.
Okay. Do you hear us now, Breakman? Do you hear us now?
Yeah.
I guess he doesn't. Breakman, are you there? Yo, no. Breakman. All right. I'll work on... I'm going to hang up on Break, and I will get him back on the call. Do I still have you, Eric? Do I have anybody? I don't have anybody on the show. I'm all alone. All right, I'm going to hang up on these guys. I'll call them right back. But so, yeah, there we go. How dare you all call me out on PQ. But let's see. Let's get these guys back. Gotta love that Skype sound. What's up, Eric?
Skype.
Yes.
Farted.
Skype did fart. They did, for sure. Breakman.
It pooped today.
Breakman, do we have you back?
No.
Okay.
Yes, maybe.
Cool.
So what we experienced is Frank flushing the toilet, I guess.
How dare you? How dare you? All right, Eric, next story, please.
I don't know. Maybe Breakman should do this one.
All right, Breakman, next story.
Okay. Coming to us live from Silicon Era. Mega Drive Mini and Sega Genesis Mini's third batch of games revealed, and we've done a dance of joy. Because today, the third batch of games being a... Not today, it was before this. M2-developed Mega Drive Mini was revealed on Dengeki PlayStation's live stream, and it includes Mega Man The Wily Wars. So, I don't know if... Can you pre-order this from GameStop yet? Because I'm going to go do that.
I think so.
You can
Amazon or Best Buy.
You can pre-order anything from GameStop. If there was a game coming out in 10 years, like let's say, I don't know, Final Fantasy VII Remake, then yeah, you could definitely get this.
I wonder how long they held like pre-orders of Duke Nukem Forever.
That's a good question, man. I bet you there were some that had fucking...
It's like they picked up a weird version of Street Fighter to put on here. Special Championship Edition.
Yeah.
It's like they could have gotten Super Street Fighter 2 instead.
But this
belabors the point about how Sega intentionally gave us the 3-button controller instead of the 6-button controller. Yep. So they could sell it for fucking $20, but you can at least buy it now, so you don't have to wait till later.
Yeah. No, we can hope it's only going to be $20.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it is. Actually, I've seen it for less. So you can buy the RetroBit 6-button controller, and it works with this thing.
Wow. Okay. I was hoping that they would get the Street Fighter Rainbow Edition. Have you guys ever seen that one? No.
The thing is, Sega doesn't earn money. I mean, it probably does because they probably have a licensing agreement, but they don't earn all the money. They only earn probably 30% maybe.
Yeah. All right. What else is included in this edition? I think.
Okay. So here are the list of games so far. These are the Mega Drive first, Contra Hardcore, Dino Brothers 2, Sega Channel Special. Game no Kazume Otakuyo?
You're the hybrid Kuyo. Front? How dare you're you talk Kuyo. About my Kuyo?
I'm a Kuyo. You're a Kuyo. Musha, Streets of Rage 2, Super Fantasy Zone, Thunder Force 3. That's a tongue twister for me, I guess. World of Illusion starring Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck.
That's a good game, actually. World of
I only played the original. Castlevania Bloodlines, Comic Zone.
Ooh, Comic Zone's game. A great game. Hard, but good.
That's probably my favorite Sega Genesis game.
Good game.
Gunstar Heroes, Madu Monogatari
One.
That's supposed to be a one? Okay, whatever.
I think it's a port of the Game Gear version.
Okay, Powerball, Puyo Puyo Su.
Two.
Rent a Hero?
Yeah. Rent a Hero is a game that's like a weird, bizarre RPG where you play as a guy who's a superhero for rent.
Yeah, Powerball is a fun game. Like it you basically you have to go from one place to another with a bunch of like numbered balls, and then you place them in a hopper at the end, and then like at the end they pull like, you know, 6 balls out, and if you have the matching numbers,
I'm pretty sure that's not what this Powerball.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was thinking of a different Powerball. Sorry.
Oh, I think I played that Powerball too. let me see, where was I? Shining Force, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and Space Harrier 2.
Yeah.
This is what we have for the Sega Genesis, as previously listed. I'm sorry. This is I'll bring the previous ones first. For the Genesis Mini, what was originally announced was Castlevania Illusion starring Mickey Mouse. That's the one I played. Contra Hardcore, Earthworm Jim, fantastic game. Landstalker, Shinobi 3, Return of the Ninja, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Streets of Rage 2, Super Fantasy Zone, Thunder Force 3, World of Illusion starring Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, Altered Beast, Castlevania Bloodlines, Comic Zone, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, Echo to Dolphin, Gunstar Heroes, Shining Force, Sonic the Hedgehog, Space Harrier 2, Toe Jam and Earl. And the games that they just announced are Mega Man The Wily Wars, which I threw up my fist in celebration, Street Fighter II Special Championship Edition, as Eric said, so they can charge you more for another controller, Sonic Spinball, Phantasy Star 4, I love Phantasy Star 4, Beyond Oasis, Ghouls and Ghosts, Alex Kidd in the Enchanted Castle, Golden Axe, Vector Man, and Wonder Boy and Monster Castle.
There's still 10 more games we don't know about.
I'm so hoping Chakan the Forever Warrior is one of those.
What? Is that like Shaka Khan? Like the sequel to Shaka Khan?
Like, I hope Shiny Force 2 is included in the next batch.
Yeah.
It's like, having one without the other is kind of dumb.
That's a pretty strong lineup, I'd say. I don't know. Yeah. What do you guys think?
I think it's pretty awesome.
I'd sub out Earthworm Jim for something else, because fuck Earthworm Jim and the creator of Earthworm Jim.
Earthworm Jim's a great game, though.
It is a good game.
It seems like Sega just learned their lesson from watching Sony and going, no, Nintendo did it right. Follow them.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you're going to play Earthworm Jim, though, it's probably a better bet to get the Sega CD version.
Yeah.
That's the most content, and it's the most balanced of them all.
But this isn't... there's no, like, portable mini Sega CD, so...
Yeah. But they said they might do something like that in the future, depending on how well this does.
Yeah. All right. Eric, next story, please.
But next story is Yo-Kai Watch 4 has been delayed in Japan by about a couple weeks, from June 6th to June 20th. I'm guessing it's, like, production or something.
Yeah, probably. Is that
because there are several islands in Japan?
Yeah, there definitely are several islands. Are you guys as concerned as I am at the amount of games being delayed this year? Like, it just seems like to me like there's been delay after. No.
No.
How dare you? How dare you, Breakman? How dare you break my spirit, Breakman?
No, like, you're complaining about delays. I think that's a good thing. That means they're working on their games, you know?
No, I understand that. I'm just saying, is there any...
Than what happened with, like, Mass Effect Andromeda, where the game was obviously not finished.
Yeah, I guess
you're... Someone was pushed out the door, you know?
Well, I guess the better question is, other than AAA titles that should be delayed, it's not a cause for concern, you're saying, Breakman, at all? Like, you know, because it just seems like to me that there's been a ton of delays lately. That's all. Like, maybe it's just a phase.
We talked last week about, like, gamer crunch and stuff like that, and maybe
this is the reduced gamer crunch.
Maybe companies have finally started to learn that they can't overwork their employees, so games are going to take longer to come out. That's not bad.
Yeah, I guess. All right, Eric, I'm going to go ahead and let you do the last story.
I mean, it's better than, like, overworking them and rushing out a product that turns out to be shit. So.
Yeah, exactly. That's my thought. I mean, I don't know exactly what the case is with...
Should they get say that they're tweaking it for quality, but that just means that they're probably overworked and what they're doing right now isn't good enough. So maybe they're taking a break.
Maybe. I'm not complaining. I'm just asking the question. You know?
Shut up, Frank. I mean, sorry.
How dare you?
But I might as well do the next article because it's somewhat related to Level 5 as well. But,
okay.
And it's a tiny little blur, but the snack world is coming to the West in 2020. No real date set. But it doesn't say whether or not the 3DS version will be coming out, but it's probably just going to be the Switch version because 3DS is going to be completely dead by then.
Do they pack in candy with this game or something?
They better, like, have some, like, kind of deal with some kind of company.
Yeah, there's, like, you can't have a game called Snack World without having some sort of edible snack.
Or, like, do a partnership with some snack company.
Yeah, I mean, the companies have made partnerships with so many other companies before. I mean, look at Microsoft and 7-Eleven. Like, what's 7-Eleven have to do with Halo?
Double XP weekends. Here's a code for double XP.
Yeah, exactly. That was a complete disaster, wasn't it? I mean, I never got involved in any of that because I'm not a
Destiny
huge...
did that shit too, and so yeah. did Call of Duty. All
oh yeah, Call of
Duty
did that too.
Yeah. Like... And I think even Final Fantasy 15 and Dissidia NT did that stuff.
Yeah. Do you guys want to get Adam on a little bit earlier? I think it would be fun to just have him with us.
If he wants to, does he have Stinkos and Sweetos, or are we going to have to school him?
We're going to have to definitely school him as we go. But
yeah, there's no chatters. What's going on?
I don't know. That's kind of weird. Well, we have chatters. They just never put anything into chat. You know, just, I don't know. But
no, I'm telling you, those are the people just waiting for us to fuck up.
Yeah, right. You know what? They're
just
waiting.
All of a sudden, we're going to say something and "got you" is going to be in chat like, "got us." What do you mean?
You know what? I'm
and
worried
the show
about
gets
that.
Shut down.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're waiting for copyright infringement to shut the show down. Well, good luck with that, you son of a bitches. I never steal anything. I've never stolen anything in my life. And if you believe that, I got land in Colorado.
I was about to say I stole a woman's heart.
All right. So that's pretty much the news. Snack World. It's got to be bundled with some like a Kit Kat bar or something, right? I mean that would be appropriate. I think.
Oh, dude.
If Butterfinger. No,
he was right the first time. Kit Kat.
Both.
No. Goobers. No. Goobers.
No. He was already right. Frank was already right. Quit trying to change
I'm always right, Breakman. How dare you?
I'd rather have
this.
Goobers than a Kit Kat bar.
I like Kit Kats. I like Butterfingers. I don't know. Oh, I think I know what Goobers are. Goobers are goober. I guess. I don't know. It's like that SpongeBob.
The only thing I would accept other than Kit Kat would be maybe peanut M&Ms. Mm-hmm. That'd be the only other one.
Yeah, I guess.
I say Kit Kat.
I guess.
All
right.
Bring me up a piece of this game, Snack World.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, I'm gonna be typing a message here to our guests, but I'm ready to have him on. This is gonna be cool, man. Adam has done a series of books. Breakman, you and I talked a little bit off the air a few days ago about some of the books that he did, and you were kind of curious on one of them. And one of them's kind of a continuation of the War of the Worlds. Like this happens after. War of the Worlds. It's called War of the Worlds Goliath. So I'm sure you'll be interested to talk to him about that book in particular. Right?
I'm reading a synopsis to it right now.
You're what? You're reading a... Oh, I see. You're so prepared. Yeah, exactly.
I know. I'm so prepared. I'm doing it right now.
Yeah. But I thought it was interesting. I got on the screen his website now. He's done quite a few books. But the one that I'm going to be... us in particular are going to be more... wanting to talk about is The Weller, because that's what he's going to base his new... I'm pretty sure that's what he's going to base his new video game on. He's using the RPG Maker engine, so you know that's an engine that...
So is this about the cousin of The Watcher? The Witcher? The Witcher's cousin?
No, the
Watcher's second brother and a Witcher's cousin.
Right, exactly, Breakman. I think you hit it on the head. I think that's another...
The Watcher, the Witcher, and the Caller.
Is that like the Witch in the Wardrobe type thing or whatever that series is? But I don't know. It'll be interesting to talk about. I don't know how someone goes from writing books to... games necessarily, because it seems like that's not kind of the natural path of things. Like I can see like books to comic books, you know, that makes a little more sense if you want to add context to your books or if you want to do offshoot stories and stuff like that. But games seems kind of a weird platform to go from book to you know to games. But hey, I mean, I give them props for even trying it, but apparently there was even a demo of the game already. So I wonder, we have to wait till we get Adam on, but I'm wondering how far along in the process they are to getting that game out, because the screenshots that I saw, and I can't find the screenshots for y'all right now, but It looked good. It looked like a Final Fantasy VI type setting, but in his Weller world. So it'll be interesting to talk to Adam about that. He'll be on in just a few minutes. We're just waiting to get him on. I'm just waiting for the word to get Adam on. But basically, what I gather from the Weller guys, do I still have you guys on the line? I don't know if I have you guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're letting you talk, Frank. I guess that is.
It's kind of weird because I'm usually interrupted every 2 minutes by you guys.
It's true.
No, but the Weller, from what I gather, is kind of like a post-apocalyptic kind of deal. Like, if you can imagine, like, what's that Mad Maxian type book series? So. That'll be interesting, man. I'm down for it. You know, I mean, it sounds like, from what I gather, the Weller is basically about a dude that goes around like trying to find water, basically, because obviously water would be the hardest, commodity to have in a post-apocalyptic world. It's always about water and water rights and stuff like that. So, interesting. So we'll talk to Adam about that and stuff, but, should be a fun time. So I'm just waiting on the word, and we will get him on in. But in lieu of
apparently he's been listening. He's like, I don't know if I want to do this.
Yeah, man. He's like, this show, I don't know.
We're talking about the snack world.
Yeah. In lieu of that, guys, let's move on to homie discounts and get those out of the way. PlayStation has a few good ones I wanted to talk to you guys about. The Assassin's Creed, almost all the Assassin's Creed series seems to be like 50% off or near that, 40 to 50% off. So that's cool. Far Cry 4 is on sale. Looks like it's half off. Far Cry New Dawn, which I guess tanked because they're already low on that price. South Park Stick of Truth is down to like almost half price on that one.
Isn't New Dawn a DLC though?
It is a DLC, but it just came out and it's already.
I thought it was like already. So I thought it started at 20. So you're saying it's like 15 now?
No, it started at 40. Eric. Mm. So it's a standard.
Yeah, that's a bit steep price for DLC. That's probably the problem right there.
I think you can play it without the game proper, though. It's
the standalone, but it's charging this almost the same price as a full game.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's get Adam on here. Let me do this, and let's do this. Add Adam. All right, it's calling now. Adam, do we have you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Adam Whitlatch. I hope I said your name right, Adam. I
you
didn't
did.
Know. All right.
Surprisingly, yes, you did.
I got it the first time.
A lot of people have problems with that.
Yeah, I was debating, like, how do I say this? Is it Whitlatch? Is it Whitlock? Is it Matlock? Is it... but we were just kind of discussing your books before you came on, man. A lot of interesting stuff there. By the way, you're on with me, Frank. You're on with Eric the Great and Breakman the Bold, just to let you know.
Of course, old Frank comes up with Matlock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course, man. I mean, if it's not Matlock, what else is there? Perry Mason. Oh shit, man!
Perry Mason. Yeah, that's old school. Yeah.
Totally forgot about Perry Mason. But we're just
right. You just don't want to pretend to be that old. not falling for it.
Well, Howdy Doody era. Stuff like that. There's all kinds of stuff. But anyways, we were just talking about your books, Adam. War of the Worlds Goliath. This is the one Breakman's most interested in because it basically takes place after the War of the Worlds. That one in there, you got Vengeance. I'm looking straight off of your website here, so just correct me if I'm wrong on anything. Vengeance for My Valentine, a vampire book. And the one that I think we're going to be most interested in talking about here on the show, Adam, is the Weller. And is it fair to say the Weller is going to be a series of books, or have you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm working on the sequel right now. It's going to be called Weller, the Fear of the Dark.
Okay. All right. Now, for those uninitiated, what is the Weller?
The Weller is Jim Cobb of Survival Weekly said it best. Weller is kind of a throwback to those classic 70s and 80s post-apocalyptic movies where you got crazy dudes in muscle cars screaming across the wasteland shooting at each other with ridiculous homemade weapons.
Fair to say Mad Maxian?
Very, very Mad Maxian. A little bit of Tank Girl thrown in there.
Okay, all right, all right. I'm down with that. I did read there was some, maybe not supernatural elements, but like monster elements to it as well.
Oh yeah, well come on, it's a post-apocalyptic wasteland. You've got to have mutants in there.
Right, of course, yeah, no problem. Now, the Weller, I was interested in talking about because apparently you're creating a game based on the Weller.
Yeah, and tell you the truth, I don't even know when the idea really came to me. But I'm creating an RPG based on the first book, and I'm using RPG Maker MV.
Yes, yeah, see, that's interesting. A lot of people use RPG Maker because it's ease of use and you know, stuff like that. I'm sure there's a lot of kinks and stuff, but you already have a demo out for it, right?
Yeah, I don't have it available online anywhere. I really should. I need to get it uploaded to my my Patreon, probably.
Yeah.
But I kind of threw one together real quick for DemiCon at the beginning of the month. And I'd just been playing around with enemies and character designs. And I got the idea in my head, well, hell, why don't I put together a demo that I can have people play at the table and give me feedback? And it was actually quicker for me to just basically create DemiCon in the game and make a special DemiCon themed demo to just a little extra treat for people than to try and actually do scenes from the book.
Right, right.
So I went ahead and just did it that way. And everybody loved the DemiCon scenes so much. I actually put the hotel in there. My friends in the Brass Gears Adventure Society, I gave them a party room in the game. There's this little oasis you can come across, and they're these yahoos out in the desert drinking all day, pretending they're on an airship.
I heard about DemiCon, man, like open bar and all kinds mm-hmm. of stuff there, man. So
oh, yeah. it's my favorite convention by far.
You say open bar, and Breakman's ears just. You know, prop up and it's like
I was
radar.
Listening to everything else.
But yeah, everybody loved that part so much they've convinced me to keep the DemiCon portions in the game as an Easter egg.
Ooh, that would be really, really cool. I want to talk to you a little bit about the process of both, Adam. Like creating a book, like writing a book is definitely different than creating a game. So can you kind of talk about like the different creative processes for each and how they're different, or maybe how they're similar in certain ways?
Oh man, I tell you, I definitely jumped into this not having any clue what I was doing, and I've been playing RPGs for a little over 20 years. Like the first RPG I really got into was Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, that shows your age right there, man. Like,
right.
You ask a person like what their first Final Fantasy game that they liked, and that kind of, you know, puts you in an age group. So I kind of know how old you are, Adam.
It does, yeah. So I kind of tried to draw on the RPGs I played in the past and try to figure out a way to translate that into a game. And I thought about doing there's a platform now called NES Maker.
Yes.
Where you can make NES games and even flash the games to carts. And I thought about that at one point, but then RPG Maker came up. One of my friends sent me a demo of her game, and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you can do all this stuff. This is actually really cool.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking, like, which of my books would work in this format? And the Weller was really the only one I could think of that would work in an RPG kind of format.
I was kind of thinking about that because obviously you've created a huge, you know, kind of world with the Weller and like where you're going to go with it and so on and so forth later on down the line. So where does the video game fit in the grand scheme of things? Does it recount the first book entirely? Is it a portion of it? Like, how are you going about
Well, right now the plan is to basically encapsulate the whole first book in this game. And I don't know. Once I get into it, I might even I might put some or all of the second book in there. I might put it all together. Really haven't decided yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'm still in the very early planning stages. I've just got a rough outline that follows the first book, and as it sits right now, it probably wouldn't be a very long game. So I need to come up with side quests and subplots and things like that.
Yeah, I would think
right now the plan is to have it follow the first novel.
Yeah, I would think it would be a huge undertaking to transfer like your entire book into a game. You know, I don't exactly know how that would work. Are you working on the game by yourself, or do you have a team of people? What do you like?
Oh, totally by myself. And I'm basically learning how to do things from YouTube tutorials.
Yeah, there's nothing
that's
wrong with that.
Learn how to do anything anymore.
Right. Up to and including like making love. I mean, that's you know, that's how you do things on the YouTube.
Frank, we've talked about TMI before.
So in terms of like, is there? I think like the Weller is basically based on one character, right? Right, Adam, is that? What I gather from it is just—it's basically one man's journey on, you know, finding water and transporting water, etc.
Essentially, yeah, and that did give me a little bit of a challenge for the game because that doesn't give you many options for having a party. There are three major characters that wind up joining him in the third act of the book, and I've got character models made up for them already. But I'm thinking what I'm going to do is have NPCs that drop in and out of the party throughout the story until the main cast is all together in the final act.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Do you have I'm sure people ask you this all the time, Adam, but I always wondered, like, when you come up with these worlds and stuff, and I'll take the Weller in particular, do you have, like, a beginning, middle, and end for this series? Like, do you already know, like, years in advance, like, where this whole deal is going to end, or do you
Frank, so stop trying to make yourself a character in his book.
With the Weller, no.
The
Weller's very open-ended. Yeah. I really don't know where Matt is going to end up. With Birthright, the Alex Walker series, I've got that planned out very far in advance.
Mm-hmm.
I know what's going to happen in that series long after the main character is dead and gone.
Yeah.
Vengeance Spoilers. For My Valentine. That was actually my first book. I started writing that in high school and it sat in the drawer forever. And every few years I would bring it out and, rewrite it a little bit, tweak it here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And finally this past year I decided, you know what, I'm going to kick this damn thing out the door. But yeah, that's been kicking around in my head for 20 years and I've got all kinds of ideas for that one. But that one's also a little open-ended. I don't have an end in sight for that. I've just got a lot of sequels in my head. But yeah, Matt Freeborn, the Weller series,
yeah.
Won't CNN for that. I could probably keep that going forever.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about Vengeance for My Valentine. Now, we were talking a little bit off air. There's a curious rumor going around that Robert Pattinson is going to be the new Batman. And I don't know if – look, it would be like kind of not a good thing to think of Twilight when you're thinking of him as an actor going into right. Batman. I know Eric and I kind of talked before and he was like, it's kind of, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, but it's kind of unfair to automatically just lump him in the sparkly vampire thing. Are there any sparkly vampires in Vengeance for My Valentine?
There is one sparkly vampire in Vengeance for My Valentine.
Wow. I everybody don't buy this book.
Maybe he's just super fabulously dressed.
That he is.
Yeah.
The fact that he is sparkly is the butt of a joke.
Yes. I definitely figured that because nobody
I think Alucard from Castlevania glows a little.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe you can consider it sparkly. Yeah, okay. But I was going to recommend that nobody buy that book if there were any sparkly vampires. But I'm glad you cleared that up for us, Adam. It's a curious choice. Robert Pattinson, and I vehemently am in the camp of it's a terrible choice because I'm not basing that on Twilight. I'm basing that on his whole career, basically. Like, I don't think I've seen anything with Robert Pattinson in it that screams Batman to me. But then I think about it, and then nobody really thought about Michael Keaton in that way. So I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. And I've had that discussion several times today. I got into a pretty heated debate with one of my writing buddies about that, and he brought up the whole Michael Keaton thing. My position is, I think I'm kind of tired of the constant rebooting, and I think it's time for Batman to just sit on the shelf for a little while.
Ooh,
I want a Batman TV show, damn it.
Yeah. That's
like they've been beating around the bush on in Batman forever. We got Gotham, and now there's a Batwoman TV show.
Batwoman, and there's that Titans show they've got too.
Yeah,
exactly. I want a freaking Batman show, for God's sakes.
No Batman show.
I'm just sick of Hollywood rebooting everything every 5 years. Like they've rebooted Fantastic Four. They've rebooted Spider-Man twice now.
Well, just wait. The MCU's going to get a whole reboot for the just.
And it's almost always Bruce Wayne as Batman. It's never Dick Grayson or Gordon, because that was the thing that happened in the comics.
Yeah, I understand. I hear where you guys are.
Or even like doing Azrael series or something.
But see, if they're going to make a new Batman movie, I really wish they would steer away from Bruce Wayne. And I'm ready for a Batman Beyond movie.
Yeah, why not?
Ooh, that'd be good.
Why not? I mean, let's do something different. You know, but
Batman Beyond, very underrated show.
I guarantee though, if Pattinson is the choice and he bombs as the character, you won't see a Batman movie for a little while, because, man, that's...
I've never seen him act, but he can't be worse than George Clooney. Like, there's no possible
worse.
Way.
He's worse.
Like,
he's
that's
way,
the lowest he's, bar ever set.
No, he's worse. He's going to be, in my
Come
opinion...
Come on, man. George Clooney set the bar as low as possibly could.
Oh, you wait, buddy. You haven't seen anything.
The problem with George Clooney and Val Kilmer...
Yeah, I was arguing... I had this argument
Val Kilmer.
The show.
Yeah. Val Kilmer was an okay Batman. He was a horrible Bruce Wayne. And you got George Clooney, who was a horrible Batman, but an okay Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
I think he was that okay of a Bruce Wayne. I think George Clooney is just bad in every way. But that's kind of what I was trying to argue before, is that he was a terrible Bruce Wayne. Before the show, I was arguing Val Kilmer, like, I like him as an actor. He was badly miscast as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree with you guys on that for sure. You know, before we move on with the show, and I know you're going to probably be able to stay with us, Adam. I do have a question about your book, War of the Worlds Goliath. Okay. All right. I noticed that there's a screenplay that was written already. Did you option the rights to War of the Worlds Goliath, or what is going on with that? Because that's okay. Kind of...
The story with War of the Worlds Goliath, that was produced by a Malaysian animation company called Tripod Entertainment, and directed by Joe Pearson, executive produced by Kevin Eastman of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fame. They teamed up with Heavy Metal back when Eastman was still running Heavy Metal.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the project had been in development for a while, and I remember seeing ads and comics for it in Heavy Metal magazine, and then nothing happened.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
My wife and I are huge fans of the Highlander TV series, and my wife has a huge crush on Peter Wingfield, who played.
That was a great show.
Played Mythos.
Got really weird at the end. Yeah.
She got really involved with Peter Wingfield's fan club, and one day she started talking to me about this movie. She goes, "You got to hear about this movie that's being made. It's called War of the Worlds Goliath." And I'm like, "Wait, that's still a thing?"
Yeah.
I thought that died years ago. And she's like, no, it's coming out this year. They're finally releasing it in America. And so, you know, I love War of the Worlds. That's really what got me into science fiction was my dad sat me down and had me listen to the 1938 Orson Welles radio broadcast.
That's one of the greatest broadcasts of all time.
Right? It's amazing. So I've been a fan of War of the Worlds for a while. So I was like, all right, well, I want to check this out. And I got in on the fan club and I got to talking with the producers and the director and started palling around with him, and And of course, you know, like I mentioned, Peter Wingfield from Highlander, a lot of the Highlander TV show cast are in the movie. Adrian Paul's in it. Peter Wingfield's in it. Jim Burns, Elizabeth Grayson. So as a Highlander fan, that just made my heart sing. But I got the idea in my head, and I sent a message to Joe Pearson, and I said, hey, have you guys thought about doing a novelization? And they said, well, yeah, actually, we're considering another author right now. And I sent them The Weller. That's the only thing I had out at the time. Mm-hmm. The Birthright was still in the editing stages at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I send them The Weller, and a few days later, Joe Pearson gets back to me, and he's like, hey, you got the job. I love this. And it was between me and a Star Trek novel writer who I won't name. But yeah, I got the job.
That I think that's fantastic. And I had no idea that they even came out with that, man. That's why I was kind of curious. I saw on the website screenplay, and I'm like, wow, that's
yeah,
cool.
The distributor really didn't do a good job of promoting the movie. And they released it on DVD in America on April Fool's Day. So when I made the big announcement, nobody believed
me. Oh, man, that's terrible marketing, man.
And I went down to Walmart, and I got my own DVD copy, and I'm like, here, I'm taking pictures. Here, guys, no, really, it's here. I swear, it's real.
You know, it's one of the biggest face palms. Like, ridiculous. That is stupid.
It's really bad, man.
I don't have much else to add to the conversation other than
yeah, most. The distributor really dropped the ball, and the director is not happy about a lot of things the distributor did.
That's a shame.
Was there any lawsuits involved or anything at that point?
Not that I'm aware of. I got to put in all the deleted scenes. I got to put the original opening in. Ooh. It was too costly for them to animate. The original scene had 1,000 Russian Cossacks on horseback charging Martian tripods, and they're like, yeah, we can't animate 1,000 men and 1,000 horses. There's no way.
Wow. That almost sounds like the last Game of Thrones, or the Battle of Winterfell, when the Dothraki went into the, you know, you just see them all with the flaming swords going into battle, and you just see them put out and stuff. I just got an image of that right now as you said that. I could see where that would be a problem animated wise, you know, be pretty much man, production values on that had to have been pretty big already to not be able to afford things like that. But what were your impressions of the movie? Good movie?
Oh God, I love the movie. Yeah. And I'll say this, if you have the capability to watch it in 3D,
ooh,
absolutely do it. Like, the Blu-ray comes with both the 2D and 3D versions. It is astounding in 3D. You get so much more detail in the 3D version.
I'm going to have to check that out, man, because I haven't seen that. I didn't even know they came out with it. Like you said, the marketing wasn't, you know, the best for it, but good stuff.
No, the marketing's terrible. Me and a few other people have been spreading the word at conventions.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to...
How long ago was this movie released?
It was released in 2012 in Malaysia, and then it was released in April of 2014 here in the States.
Wow. I
it took a whole 2 more years to get to the United States.
Well, so to find a distributor, yeah.
It kind of makes sense, Breakman, because if you think of in video game terms, like games usually, like especially in RPG world, like they come out in Japan like a year or two, and then we have to wait for it here, you know, to find if it at all comes out, if it gets localized and whatnot. There's a lot more that you know, to bringing out movies and games in different parts of the world than just, oh, here it is. You know, there's a lot involved, man. So, all right, we're definitely going to be talking more about your books as we go here, Adam. But can you stay for the rest of the show?
Sure.
All right, we'll kind of walk you through things.
Oh, no, he's never coming back.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Adam will never be back. All right, we have a segment, Adam. This is Breakman's segment, but I always introduce, as of like a couple weeks ago, introduced this segment like this. All right, dear Breakman, what do we got, Breakman?
I really wish you hadn't asked. You just asked me prior to anything because there's really no Dear Breakman.
We don't have any Dear Breakmans this week. Usually, well, I like the intro anyway, so I'm sure everybody appreciates a little bit of Toccata and Harp.
And there is one Twitter comment. But,
okay.
I mean, we can do an old Dear Breakman if you want. You know,
just, no. What do we got, man?
This is from Freak Fivecast. Random memory popped into my head. The woman who gave me the name Freak when her first son was still in daycare, 3 or 4, I think, it was during nap time. His teacher looked up, and he was standing in front of her desk naked and said, "Drop my nuts in your soup, blue."
I understood that reference.
Yeah, leave it up to Freak Five. He's, wow. Freak Five is something special. I'm surprised he's not in chat today, man. That's kind of weird.
He said last week he had work, I think.
Oh, that's right.
He did. Is that Freak from Zombie Anonymous?
Yes. Yeah, Freak Five.
Okay, yeah, he told me he had to work.
Ah, son of a bitch. Just tell him he's a son of a bitch next time you see him, Adam. He'll know.
He is a son of a bitch.
Yeah, see, there you go. I'm glad. See, we're on the same page, man.
Oh, hey, Frank, you didn't need to exile him because he's already been exiled.
Yeah, that's right. I exiled him, and he took it personally this week. So there you go. All right. Well, you like playing video games, right, Adam?
Yes.
All right. So let's do this.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Inquiring minds want to know what you, Adam, have been playing this week, if anything.
Much to my frustration, Dead by Daylight.
Okay. What's frustrating about that game to you? Because I agree with you. That game is frustrating.
The latest patch, they added this in-game feature where once the exit gates are powered, the level starts to break down.
Okay.
And apparently the killer now has the ability to shut the hatch. And I think they also have some limited control over the gates as well.
Okay, so basically it's making it harder for the victims in the game.
Yeah, it's making it even harder for the victims, which the last few killers that they've been putting out have been really OP, and they really didn't need the help.
Yeah.
So this is designed by the GOP then?
Dead by Daylight is an interesting game. It's a multiplayer horror game, and I love games that are horror related. Like sometimes on Fridays I'll get on with Freak Five and I'll either watch or participate in Friday the 13th, but Dead by Daylight's a little bit different. Its maps are more, I guess, condensed, and it's more of an intense kind of feeling when you play that game as opposed to, you know, Friday the 13th, which can also be intense at times. But it just seems to me like Dead by Daylight seems to capture more of the like high tension you know, some of the early horror movies. So yeah, that's interesting. Anything else you've been playing, Adam?
Not really lately. I've been doing a lot of convention stuff, so I really haven't had much time. I've been neglecting Neverwinter. I really need to get back into playing that. My friend Ash and I play that a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm probably going to be playing some Diablo 3 here because it's either today or tomorrow the new season starts on consoles.
Yeah, Diablo 3 is a great game. I
need to get it.
Yeah, you really should.
I've been neglectful. It's true.
Yeah, you're a horrible gamer. Breakman.
I know. I'm ashamed.
But yeah, Diablo 3 is a great game. Those are some solid choices there, Adam. You fit right in, my man. All right, Breakman, what have you been playing?
Well, mostly just the Borderlands pre-sequel.
All right, still working on that.
I did have kind of an interesting occurrence last night as I was playing the game. I think I'm pretty close to the end of the game. And I was fighting this one boss, this jet boss. I beat him the first time. And if you know Borderlands, you get tons of loot and stuff.
Yeah, it's a loot shooter.
I picked up all this loot, and I realized my bags were about full. So I decided, well, maybe I should head back to town and see if I can grind some of this stuff and make better loot with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, hello?
Yeah, hello? No, go ahead. Sorry.
So, I leave and come, and I'm like, okay, you know, go do whatever I was gonna do, and I come back and I realized that there was a point after I beat the boss I was supposed to move into the next area. And because I didn't do that, I had to fight the boss again. And he kicked my ass a couple times before I was able to fucking beat him again.
Did you lose all your loot, man?
No, you don't lose your loot. Thank God. Okay. But I had to fight the boss again and get past him, and like just he kept kicking my ass too. And it's like, what the fuck? I beat him the first time. What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, you know, you're not a pro, so you know you gotta you know. I mean, if it was me, Breakman, I would have just breezed right through it and like no problem at all. But you know, you don't have the skills that I do.
What is going on here? Who said that?
I'm the worst gamer ever, man. I would have died 5 times before I would have been able to even do anything. But so, anything else you've been playing, Break?
South Park and the Final Fantasy game on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah, those are always fun. All right, Eric.
I'm just peeved that I had to beat a boss twice.
Yeah, I know. But hey, you did big things, man. Did you get a trophy for it at least, or an achievement?
No, there's no achievement for me and causing my own despair. Like
there should be, man.
What kind of achievement do I get? The dumbass achievement? Like, here, good job, moron. Here's a booby prize.
Well, I mean, if there was that achievement or trophy in any game, I would get that times 5 break. So don't feel bad, man. All right, Eric, what have you been playing?
Just some more London Detective Mysteria, and I'm almost done with at least the first route of the game, and it'll go a lot more smoothly after that happens. Other than that, the only other thing I played is 428 Shibuya Scramble, and I could tell where... its design was later used and refined in games like 999, because it's using the same kind of flowchart type of deal. But it's more complex because you have to jump between different characters at certain points. But it was pretty interesting and funny visual novel that uses live-action stock photos to tell most of its story.
All right. Interesting. Anything else you've been playing, Eric?
No, I was going to get to Agalos, but I didn't have time today.
Mm-hmm. All right. I play Marvel Puzzle Quest every day, but that's, you know, neither here nor there. I played a little bit of Iconoclast. I got that free on the PlayStation Plus a while ago, and it's actually a really good game. I'm really surprised. So I think I'm about a quarter of the way done with that game at least. So that was interesting. I did get a little further in Last of Us. Last of Us, of course, being the post-apocalyptic zombie virus type game where you're just trying to survive.
I need to get back into that. I got a few hours into that and got distracted.
It's you can't go in there guns blazing on Last of Us.
No.
It's more of a stealth type game, and I like playing games guns blazing most times. That's the type of player that I am, but Last of Us is a different type of game, and you got to kind of sneak around and try to get around situations as opposed to taking the enemies head on. But it's an interesting, fun game. It's definitely beautifully rendered. It's I don't know. I'm really liking it a lot, and I think it's one of the best games of last generation for certain, and it's definitely a really good remaster. So, you know, I'm looking forward to playing more of that and beating it. But all right, let's move on. Reviews, Eric. I don't think anybody else has a review unless you do, Break, of a game or a movie or anything. So let's move on to
RP Grinders reviews.
All right, Eric, you have a review.
Yeah, I got a review of Saga of Tanya the Evil, which is an anime that's based on a book series in Japan. Written by some guy named Carlos, I think it's Zed or something, I forget, but it's Carlos Zen, but I think that's just a handle, that's not a real name, but
Kylo anyways, Ren?
I also saw the movie of it. I say it's a season one review, but depending on how things go with movie and anime sales, there might not be a season two, and you might just have to buy the rest of the novels to read the rest of the story. But I'll give you a review of both of these things. But the basic premise of the show is that modern day Eric guy in Japan who works in an office. He's got a higher up position, like he's got the ability to fire people, apparently. But fires one guy because they aren't pulling their weight at their workplace, but he's also a very strict stickler for rules, and he's kind of sociopathic and a jerk. But he takes it badly and decides to push him into the oncoming train and by pushing him on the train tracks. So right before he dies, this mysterious entity that we don't really learn, but he ends up calling Being X, basically wants to punish him for not having faith in the existence of higher powers, and because he basically is a jerk, just wants to teach him a lesson by having him reincarnate as a little girl in a world that's not unlike ours, but also takes place in the 1920s during World War era. And so he's living in the country that's basically Germany, and he's serving the Empire. Now he's a woman, and he gets to like age 10 when he starts this new life as a military soldier. Because, yeah, child soldiers are wonderful. But so she's trying to get a cushy life so that she doesn't have to get involved in the war. And so, but the problem is that she keeps doing so well that they just keep relying on her and giving him more and more difficult missions. And it's about the struggle between her trying to get even at this being, which I guess is like the god of fate, I guess. Because she doesn't really believe that they're a god, just that they're all powerful, and but also kind of a smarmy piece of shit, because they are. So it's basically watching two villains outwit each other.
All right, that's an interesting premise. So what are you giving Saga of Tanya, the evil?
I say it's World War One era, but it's like World War One era if magic were real, and they basically use magic to augment the power of their rifle shells.
That sounds like Wolfenstein.
Yeah,
magic is real in World War Two. Anyway, sorry, go on.
Yeah. World War One, not World War Two.
Oh, you're right. My bad. Yeah. Sorry.
Because there's no. Even though this is the German Empire, there's no Nazism and eugenics experiments going on.
Damn.
Although
it,
she does look Aryan because she has blonde hair and blue eyes.
I was going to ask about that, man. That actually would actually be kind of cool. But anyways, continue on, Eric. What are you giving?
The movie's about a conflict that they have with, which is obviously Russia. Because like they have the unified states instead of the United States.
Always Russia, man. What is it? The fucking Russian bastards, man. They always Russia. Always. Causing problems, man.
But I'm gonna give the show and the movie an equal score of 9.
Wow, that good. So you're recommending?
I watched the dub of the show, but I had to see the movie subtitled because they haven't done the dub of it yet, I guess.
Yeah.
But the dub's actually pretty decent.
All right, that's excellent, man. 9 out of 10. So high recommend from Eric. And when Eric gives something a 9 out of 10, I mean it's a no brainer. Go watch it. But cool deal, man. MXT is in chat. He says, "Go Power Rangers! You're exiled, you son of a bitch, MXT." And Wyland is in chat. He's just chilling. So welcome on in, guys. Appreciate you coming on in. We have Adam Whitlatch, who is an author, and he'll be coming out with a game. When's the game coming out for the Weller? Adam?
That's a good question. I have no idea.
You're not going to Final Fantasy VII remake us, are you, Adam? Like, keep telling us.
I hope not.
All right, man. Fair enough. So,
as long as you don't like EA us, that's
yeah. Definitely. And don't do microtransactions.
You know, they release your game like several months before it's ready to be released.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And then you know, charge a fortune for it. And
yeah. Oh no.
All right. We're going to move on to High Escapades, Adam. Now, this is the segment. We do this from now and again. I actually have a High Escapade this week. But basically, this is like maybe anything funny that happened during the week that you saw, maybe a video, a lulz, or something that happened during your particular week. But this is how I introduce this segment. Okay, I have a Heiscapade this week, and kind of the origin of Heiscapades, I never really kind of said this, but it originated from Bernie and I. Bernie's my girlfriend, Adam, so, you know, you have context there, but I live in Denver, Colorado, you know, the first state in the union to legalize weed and all that. So,
you lucky bastard.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, call a spade a spade. I was definitely very, very lucky to happen to be here when they legalized, but always when we partook, like there would always be some funny conversation or something of that sort. So this week's Heiscapade involved a show, I don't know if you've seen this show, but it's called Naked and Afraid. And the premise of the show is two naked people.
I like that show a lot.
All right. I'm going to discuss that in probably another week because I could go on and on about the premise of the show and all that. But
I think the show is hilarious because just how stupid do you have to be?
Right.
And the ones that go on there and say, like, I didn't think it was that hard watching it on TV, those are my favorites.
Right.
It's like, really? Are you watching a different show than I'm watching?
So,
because this looks impossibly stupid to me.
Right.
You see, let's go to a place where I don't have clothing, I don't have shelter.
Don't have anything,
basically.
I also
don't have food, I don't have water, I don't have electricity. Oh, wait, can I get some fast food? Oh, wait, no, I can't.
Right, so basically you have no comforts of your own home. And I agree with you, Breakman.
And like, they're eating bugs to sustain themselves and shit, right. And like picking up shit off the ground and eating that. And
right. I don't know if they're actually eating shit, but, you know. But yes.
Well, no, I mean, like, they're picking up, like, things that are on the ground that are, you know, decayed, like animals or decayed fruit and shit like that. I've seen them eat. It's like, that might as well be eating shit.
Oh, yeah. It's all nasty. So we got into like kind of a debate about the show because I was like, what is the incentive of being on the show? Right. Cause if you're on Survivor, there's a definite incentive. If you win that show, you win $1 million. So I was like, what's the incentive to be on Naked and Afraid? And we were, you know, discussing it and,
insanity.
There's no incentive. People go on this show just to, I don't know, be manly or womanly and show that they can do it.
To prove that they can do it. Like,
right.
They just – some of the rationales that they go on the show, like I actually, it was one of the most recent episodes, I think, where one woman was going on there like, well, I'm going on here because my son's addicted and I want to know what it's like to be addicted.
How does that work?
More power to you.
Yeah, like what – how?
Yeah.
How did you connect those dots?
Right.
Sounds more like you know what it's like to be going through withdrawal. Okay?
Yeah. Like she's like, and after she completed it, she's like, I understand like the mental hardships he's going through and stuff
dear
like that.
Lord.
And I'm like, okay, sure. Yeah. Whatever you say, lady.
Whatever floats
your
boat.
Sure?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So anyways, that aside, I was like, we were talking about it, and Bernie was like, you know, she made an observation about the show that I felt was appropriate for Heiscapades, okay? And she made the observation that the men, almost exclusively, except for one show that she saw a woman, at the beginning of the show, they're normal. But towards the end of the show, their heads become bobbleheads. Like their heads become bigger and their bodies shrink so they look like human bobbleheads. So I thought that was probably one of the funniest things, you know, that one of the features of that show is to watch the guys go from human to bobblehead within 20 days. So naked and afraid bobbleheads is my Heiscapade. Break, did you have one? I didn't see anything on the dock.
No.
All right. What about you, Adam? Anything? You don't have to necessarily have a Heiscapade. We very rarely do that segment, but I thought it was interesting to point that
I'm
out.
I'm guessing that what I'm going to think is a stinko, though, a lot of you might – everybody else might find to be it.
Okay, we'll get to that. All right, Adam, anything on the Heiscapade front?
Oh, nothing really coming to mind.
Okay, then let's move on to – you'll love this segment, Adam. This is what we call Stinko of the Week, somebody that really pissed you off, somebody in the news, maybe
– Oh, I got that. I got
okay.
A whole bunch of those.
All right. See, I figured this is everybody's favorite segment, and this is how we introduce this segment.
Stinko of
All right, Adam, your Stinko of the week.
Well, hold on. Before we get to his, I think he might have some of the ones that we have. Okay. So maybe we should go first.
Well, Adam, you're being preempted by Breakman. So
I'm not trying to be rude here. I'm thinking that the whole abortion thing is going to be one of your stinkos, and I'm sure that's already on our list.
I figured that was a gimme, you know.
Oh, that's on Eric. Why don't we let Eric go first since you mentioned that Breakman?
Yeah. Speaking of that. My stinko is Missouri lawmakers doing this now, but it's a bill criminalizing abortion at about 8 weeks of pregnancy.
Okay.
Which is just over the minimum that most people need.
Right. Here's the thing. Okay. Alabama is batshit crazy. Georgia's batshit crazy. Those are southern states. Missouri is batshit crazy now. Ohio is batshit crazy. So what the fuck is
going on? We're being run by a little midget, like, and I'm using derogatory term midget, I think. Because he's a little asshole and wants to enforce his extreme religious beliefs on the rest of us.
Yeah.
Mike DeWine.
This is a disturbing.
Well, hasn't Ohio gotten a stay of execution for a while?
Yeah. All these states really are, because it's being fought in the courts. So they can't. They can't technically enforce these laws yet.
Well, here's the thing. They are doing this specifically for one person or one purpose and one purpose only.
Yeah, and we all know what that is. They want to try and force the Supreme Court to change Roe versus Wade.
And what I ultimately hope happens is that the Supreme Court does the right thing and doesn't even see these cases, says, fuck that. We've already decided this.
Everything I've read as far as the Supreme Court goes is they want nothing to do with this. Like, they don't want to be – the Supreme Court does not want to be considered the bad guys, basically.
See, MXT is back in chat. Welcome. I think I said welcome back, MXT. But he says, you know, we're talking about a heavy hitter, you know, in the abortion laws. And he says, Frank, I hear you murdered the grumpy cat. That's the type
you
of
son of a bitch. That was going to be another one of my stinkos, but I kind of forgot to add it.
Yeah, well, I got news for you, MXT. Cats die, man, just like people die.
This cat died only after 7 years. Like, that was really young for a cat.
That is really young, man. It's sad. But
how long do cats usually last?
Depending on the cat,
10 to 13
depending on their
years.
Lifestyle. Yeah, like that, or like if you have an indoor cat that you keep healthy, they can live well in their 20s.
He said, I suck the grumpy cat's life force to sustain my own.
Frank is the cat leech.
I'd say 15, 16 years is about average for a house cat. My wife's a vet tech, and we've got 5 cats. And we've got one, how old is Midnight now? She's 16 or 17, and she's been diabetic for, I think, almost 5 years now.
So what you're saying, Adam, is it's on its last legs. That's what you're saying. I'm kidding, man. I don't want to be a downer.
See, though, that's the problem. You would think that.
Yeah.
But she's not our cat. We're just holding on to her for Keith Richards. This cat will outlive us all.
You know what? I saw a video of Mick Jagger at 75 years old, like dancing like he was 20, man. That dude, if you want to talk about a dude that's going to outlive us all, that guy, man. Holy cow.
God damn it, how can he do that? I couldn't do that in my youngest days. Like, how the fuck does he do that?
Yeah, well, I guess just genetics, man, the amount of drugs those dudes take.
I don't want to get into that band right now. That's a complicated story.
You were saying, Adam? Sorry.
I read an interview with Alice Cooper a few years back where somebody asked him, when are you going to retire? And he says, well, I'm 10 years younger than Mick Jagger, so I figure when Mick retires, I got a good 10 years left.
That's an awesome story, man. That's great. Okay, where did I leave out? All right, so
Jagger's going to die on stage. He is never going to retire.
Yeah, I think so, man.
I don't mean literally die on stage. I mean, like, he's going to, like, die performing.
Right. I
mean, he's going to go with
I don't mean song. He's going to die on stage. Damn it, that's still the same thing.
You're saying he's going to die on stage. Confirmed by Breakman. Thanks. Okay, so I think we're all in agreement that the anti-abortion...
I want to kill the rapist other member of the Rolling Stones, not him. Shit.
How dare you? The Stones are sacred, man. That's a sacred cow.
Like, there's some complicated history. Like, the one of them... One of them was trying to marry a 13-year-old girl at one point.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah. Like, there's some dirtbag. One of them's a real dirtbag, but...
Yeah. All right, I think we're all in agreement. Anti-abortion laws are pretty atrocious. I mean, women should be able to do what they want with their body, and a fetus does not constitute a person in my view. In 6 weeks, I mean, nope. you can't even...
An embryo, a fetus, those are not babies.
I just... like
they're not developed yet. You were going through a development... I mean, they are going through a development process to the point where they can get to babies.
Yeah.
And the whole point of, like, an abortion is to... Or one of the points of abortion is to say that, you know what, I don't want that baby. I can't raise that baby.
Right, right.
Or whatever else, and to stop it. And then the idiots who want to argue, well, they can give it up for adoption. Well, why don't you go adopt some kids, because there are tons of kids
adoption out there. Rates adoption. Are low, and foster care parents are usually terrible people.
Well, and not only that.
There are a lot of kids right now that need to be adopted. And so don't fucking give me that argument.
Not only that, there's an economic aspect to that, too. Like, there are good foster parents out there, Eric. And
also, you'd probably go broke trying to have a kid because of the medical costs.
Well,
and how shitty healthcare is in this country.
Absolutely. I was just about ready to raise that point, Eric. Yep. Healthcare in this country is ridiculous. It's definitely time for a Medicare for all type system. Every other damn country has it, so why not the United States? But another topic for another day. All right, Breakman, do I have your permission to let Adam go next?
No.
Yes. Adam, I think you get the gist of what our Stinko of the Weeko is, so why don't you go with your Stinko?
All right, well, this is definitely minor compared to the abortion ban, but it speaks to writers everywhere. Yeah. So I was at a book festival in Minneapolis over the weekend called Wordplay.
Okay.
And pretty big deal. Stephen King was there.
Ooh,
on the first day.
Nice.
And
holy shit, that is okay. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt, like, I just, like, holy shit.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool. We were pretty close to the stage. He wasn't signing, we didn't get to meet him or anything, but we were pretty close to the stage where our booth was, so we had pretty good seats to hear him talk.
Mm-hmm.
And the night before, his band played somewhere in downtown Minneapolis, and that was really well attended. But anyway, so I'm running a booth at this festival,
mm-hmm.
and at one point, this lady comes up to my booth, and she starts looking over my stuff. And the funny thing about this festival was, even though Stephen King was the headliner,
mm-hmm.
there really weren't a lot of people into sci-fi, horror, and fantasy at this thing.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of people turning up their nose at me, which really shocked me, because it's like, really, guys?
Right. Why would they? I mean, that's
Stephen fucking King, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But Stephen King, he transcends genre. Everybody loves him.
Right, right.
So this lady comes up to my booth and she starts looking at my books and, you know, turning up her nose at everything, especially Vengeance for My Valentine, which, if you've been on my website, you've seen the cover.
Right. The cover is basically I think it's a woman's hand with black fingernails holding a heart. Right. I think that's.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And it's funny. Men hate that cover. Men are always the ones like, oh, gross. But chicks dig it. Chicks.
I like it. I thought that was kind of awesome, actually.
Frank's a chick. Confirmed.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I do have moobs, so that makes sense.
So she's looking over everything and she takes one of my bookmarks, which has got all my website info and everything on it. And she says, well, I'm going to take a bookmark for my students. See, I'm a creative writing professor here at, you know, one of the local colleges. She rattled it off. I can't remember what it was.
That important. Yeah.
Yeah. And just the way she was talking to me, I already knew how this whole thing was going. So I was just like, yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been through this before.
Sure.
And she says, now, I discourage genre fiction in my students, but there are some students in my class that would probably like your stuff. So I'll take one of your bookmarks. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, piss off.
Wow. Yeah.
And my my assistant who was there with me just kind of looked after her for a minute. And then she's like, wait, what the hell just happened?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, I'm about to be used as an example of what not to do in a creative writing class.
What? Wow.
And she goes, wait, what? Why? And right. I said, because science fiction and fantasy and horror are all, you know, base forms of literature and therefore not worthy of academic merit.
Wow.
And she's just utterly shocked. And I said, no, that's how it is. That's how it is in the academic world. Granted, there are exceptions here and there, but for the most part, in an academic setting, and it's the same in the art world. Comic book art is the nastiest insult you can get in a college art class.
That's insane.
Because heaven forbid people engage in creating art that will actually make them fucking money.
Right. Wow.
I guess if you're not a starving artist, you're not an artist at all, huh?
Exactly. That's their point. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of these creative writing teachers, and I've seen it before. Like my best friend, is an artist, and he was writing a sci-fi series right after he got out of high school, and his creative writing teacher in college crushed it out of him.
Yeah,
a lot of them are failed writers themselves, and I had one of my friends who is a college professor tell me, "Oh, they're not failed writers. They have to be published in order to be, hired as a creative writing professor." And it's like, yeah, but in what markets?
Yeah,
it's not anything anyone's actually reading. You know, there are markets that are selected for, you know, their difficulty in being selected.
I can't.
It's a bunch of academics sitting around reading it and laughing because the genre writers aren't allowed in.
I always liken that type of stuff, Adam, to critics for movies, right? Like, I'm a big horror fan. I like a lot of horror movies, and I've, you know, it's how I've always been ever since I was a little kid. I watched horror movies since I was like 3 years old and up, you know. And the critics usually get horror movies wrong, right? If you look at Rotten Tomatoes right now, if there's a horror movie out there and it gets 30% or above, I usually watch it because that means, you know, the majority of critics hated it, but there are some critics that like horror and that genre of movies. So if you get 30%, that gives you a good idea that there might be some stuff in that movie that you like. So go ahead and give it a shot, you know. And that's kind of my rule of thumb with horror movies and comedies. Like if it gets 30% or above on a Metacritic site like Rotten Tomatoes, I'll usually give it a shot, you know. Now, yeah. if it's a mainstream movie like a drama or something, and it's getting 30%, most likely the movie's going to absolutely fucking suck, and I'll take a pass, you know. Yeah. But that's kind of what the feeling that I get. Like it's kind of like hate for the genre just for the sake of hate, you know.
Well, Robert Heinlein had a fantastic quote about critics, and I keep it on my desk, so I'll read it to you. "A critic is a man who creates nothing and thereby feels qualified to judge the work of creative men. Yeah. There is logic in this.
Yeah.
He is unbiased. He hates all creative people equally."
Yeah.
This is about me, right?
Pretty much, Breakman. I did want to make a comment. MXT in chat said Stephen King ripped off like three of his ideas. So, yeah. MXT, I think we all understand.
I thought he was the Power Ranger last week. Now he's an author.
Well, we all definitely understand where MXT is coming from, right? I mean, we do have that understanding. cool. Cool, Adam. That's a man. I can't believe that there are academics out there that really, really think like that, man. Like unless it's something they like or. You know, it's a
really you don't like you've looked around society lately and that surprises you.
You know, I would have probably pointed out Stoker to that lady and see if what she said about Stoker and if that was actually art to her and see what she said.
And Shelley and yeah.
Right, Shelley and Stoker and you know, a bunch of other. I mean, that's unbelievable, man. I can't believe that. You have to be starving to be taken seriously, I guess, in her eyes. But
yeah, my assistant was like, "Really? That's how you feel about genre fiction? And you're here in an event where Stephen King is the fucking headliner? Did you get lost?"
That's awesome, man. Maybe she'll take it to her class and people will actually look at your work and think otherwise, Adam. I guess that's the only hope that you got with that chick anyways, man.
Well, I can hope. I mean, yeah. That's just it.
Yeah. All right.
You got to hope there's some free thinkers in there. Because here's the thing.
Yeah.
And, well, my assistant wanted to go yell at her, and I said, no, don't worry about it. Because here's the thing about that academic setting. If those students are willing to let a teacher break them down and tell them what to write, then the publishing industry is going to break them down even harder.
Right. That's a whole different process, you know, like
that's a hellacious process.
I didn't even think about that. That's actually a good point, Adam. So, yeah, I mean, I guess in a way she's doing the genre a service, if you think about it, you know, if you can take that, then, you know, that prepares you for the next step, you know, I guess, I don't know.
As you said, if you want to write, if it's in your heart, if your genre is your passion, nothing's going to stop you.
Right. Right.
Not even a bitch like that.
So. Right. So all you Twilight fan fictioners out there, keep at it, because one day you'll be the next 50 Shades of Grey. Yeah. So there you go. All right.
You pretend to hate Twilight, but you mention it an awful lot.
How dare you? How dare you break me up? I just have a girlfriend that, for some reason, likes that series.
Frank is actually the ghostwriter, isn't he?
How dare you? You're exiled, you son of a bitch. Exiled.
He has a secret account on whatever website writing fanfic about Twilight.
Breakman, you're exiled as well. You are a son of a bitch number two.
Because you've written like 50 stories isn't my fault. Like, you don't exile me for that.
How dare you? How dare you expose my non fanfictiony ways, Breakman? I
remember reading a bunch of awful Mega Man X fiction.
Bernie is exiled. Son of a bitch. There's three Mega son Man of a bitches in X here today.
No, Mega Man X is sacred. No.
Oh, man. I hate you all, man.
I did one that was actually pretty good, but like the other two weren't so good.
Wait a minute.
I see what Bernie said. Sorry.
Did you just say Twilight was good, Eric?
No, I'm talking about Mega Man X.
Oh, phew. Man, I was going to have to exile you two again. All right. Who did I leave off with? We got Eric Breakman. Did we do yours?
No, I've got two stinkos.
Okay. Go ahead.
I thought we were moving on to Sweetos.
No, we still got mine and Breakman.
We're still on stinkos. One goes to the death of a legendary comic actor, Tim Conway.
Tim Conway was great.
If he was up anybody's, you know, anybody's liked him or whatever, because he's an older guy. Like, it was Tim a long Conway time ago, like the Carol Burnett show and such like that.
He was great on the Carol Burnett show, Tim Conway. I remember. Yeah, I'm older than Methuselah. You forget, Breakman.
It's true.
Wyland says,
I don't know about everybody else though, but like, yeah. So us old guys, like, Def Tim Conway sad day.
Yeah.
It's sad day when one of the funny lights goes out.
Yeah.
So that's one, and this is one I don't know if you guys might find to be a high escapade or not, but this is a Cinco. So Sunday morning, about 6 o'clock, I was rudely awakened.
Uh-oh.
To the fact that my dog she met somebody new in her life.
Okay.
A new friend, I guess. I hope we'll never see again.
A squirrel?
No. You want to keep guessing?
A mouse.
No. A little larger.
A cat.
No, about the same size.
A raccoon.
No, smallerish.
You're not thinking stinky enough.
Yes, you're not thinking stinky enough.
Oh, a skunk.
Correct. Yes, my dog learned what a skunk was.
Oh boy, what happened, Breakman? Give us the skinny.
She met a skunk, she got sprayed in the face, and it was a horrible day for all of us.
Did you have to do the whole tomato, you know?
No, it's peroxide, baking soda, and dish soap.
Did it work?
Not really. I took her to PetSmart to have her groomed, and they did that too, and it helped, but every time she gets wet or she... There's every once in a while it's like, oh my god, I smell it.
Tomato juice, dude. Tomato juice will take care of that. Yeah, I know it sounds gross, but you give her a tomato juice bath and you know, regular shampoo, and that should help quite a bit.
The groomers, the stuff they gave her, they said as long as we keep her dry, and it seems to be working for the most part. As long as she's dry, she doesn't smell. But if she goes, but if it's raining or something like that, it's like, fuck.
Leave it to Brakeman to bring an actual literal stinko to the segment Stinko of the Week, man. That's pretty awesome, man. Oh, man, that's funny. Wyland in chat says, check the hieroglyphics in the pyramids. I bet Twilight is on the wall. How dare you, oh. Wyland? Damn it, Wyland. How do you have to ruin hieroglyphics for me now, man? Jesus Christ. Now that's all I'm going to see. All right, my stink of the week real quickly. I don't understand all the Game of Thrones hate, man. Like, without giving away spoilers, like, they had to rush shit this season because they only had 6 episodes. So, I don't know. That's just my stinko of the week. Like the Game of Thrones haters out there on Twitter and the world, I thought it was a fine episode. I mean, I hate the way things are going, but that's just, I mean, welcome to the world of J.R.R. Martin, I guess, you know? I mean, that's the best way I can put it, man. I mean,
why is it like a shorter season? Like, this is one of the most popular shows in the world. I'm coming from the perspective of somebody who's never seen it.
Okay, I'll give you the real reason.
I don't understand why it's like this shortened season when to me it should be like this big, like, I'm a Walking Dead fan. Look how AMC is milk the Walking Dead.
Right. I'll tell you why, Brakeman, and it has to do with money. I was talking to Bernie about this, actually. It's like Emilia Clarke, right, for instance. Like, once you get to a certain point as an actor or actress in a TV show, you kind of got the studios by the balls. Because if you are a main character and you're super popular, there is no way that studio can replace you with a different actor or actress, right? It's just, it's almost impossible. It's been done before a couple of times successfully, but a show like Game of Thrones, if you were to take the main actor, I used Emilia Clarke, for instance, and take her out of the show, it would kind of ruin the momentum of that show, and people would complain, and it would be awful for ratings, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot more involved in like when there's negotiations at the table for characters in TV series. So,
but something this popular, like there's a lot of money involved. Well, like,
yeah, I understand.
Is it just greedy executives not willing to share the profits?
No. Break. It actually has to do with production costs, man. Like production costs are through the fucking roof for that show, man.
For a show with dragons and shit.
Yeah. Oh, man. Like the dragon alone, I was looking at some numbers. God damn it. Why do people got a call during this fucking hour, man?
Oh, that's for me. I'm sorry.
I wish that were true, man. Jesus Christ. I feel like...
I thought it was another telethon we were doing.
Yeah, we're doing we're like Cheech and Chong, we're doing the weed-a-thon, man. But anyways... when you look at the production cost break, man, and I saw some numbers, they keep it kind of close to the vest with most of their numbers, but like the dragon alone was taking up a big chunk of the production cost, notwithstanding actor salaries and stuff like that. And that's the thing about actors that kind of come full circle. Mm-hmm. You always want more money. And at this point in the process, those actors had all kinds of leverage. Like, you couldn't take Peter Dinklage out of his role because nobody else could fill that role as Tyrion. So, you know, whatever he said, they were going to give. Same thing with Emilia Clarke. Same thing with, you know, a bunch of
these
actors.
And these are all actors that are in high demand right now.
Right, and they're huge parts of the show. Like Kit Harington. Like, I guarantee Kit Harington could have put a blank check, or they could have... They probably put a blank check in front of Kit Harington and said, put your number in here, because there's no way that they could have did this last season without those characters in particular. So it's all about budget, man. And their budget was fucking like, there's a reason there was only 6 episodes. Now, they kind of did a compromise this season. They did longer episodes. Like, there's only 6 episodes, but they were like a minimum of like an hour and 15 minutes long. So that was the compromise. This season was going to be the last because they couldn't afford it going further. And there's always a deciding point. Well, you know, this is going to be it, guys, because the budgets are outrageous and we understand that the actors, you know, deserve this and that. And, you know, it was crazy. It was just crazy. So that's a long and gist of it, but I don't understand the hate for the season. I think it's been maybe not the strongest season, but you know, they had to do what they had to do and were rushing to do it. So, all right, let's move on. When we do Stinkos, Adam, we always counterbalance it with Sweetos. So here is how we introduce Sweetos.
Dude, what does my tattoo say? Sweet!
Sweet of the week!
All right, Sweetos of the week. Breakman, do you want to start with your Sweeto? So we can...
Yeah, mine... if you've never been on Twitter for a while, they tend to like kill people and stuff like that. Well, this week they killed Ric Flair, who was, you know, rushed to the hospital with like medical emergency and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
He is still very much alive, so
yeah. But
you mean they like to all pretend that he's dead?
Well,
it's basically like it was spreading that Ric Flair was dead.
Yeah, he's definitely not dead, but there was some type of real emergency. I still don't know the details.
It's just terrible, like that somebody's dealing with an emergency like that, and for others like start trending that some guy's dead. You know,
right? Yeah, for
just,
sure.
Not just for a celebrity, but for anybody in general. It's like,
yeah.
What the fuck? Like they're fighting for their lives, and you want to like, hey, they're dead, everybody, they're dead.
Yeah. All right. Any other Sweetos break?
There's one, but it's more for next week.
Okay, I guess we'll hold up to
that. Well, I mean, I could go ahead and spill it. You know, it's
all right. Go ahead.
Next week, will be Breakman Day. You know, so everybody can go ahead and start celebrating.
Oh, that's right. Next week, you know, I'm like on hard times right now, Breakman. So I'm not sending you anything your way this time. But we'll have to do something special next week. I'll have to think about that, Break. So yeah,
No. All you have to do is celebrate. Like you don't have to send me anything. Like I'm a grown man. Like
I
expect gifts. I don't want gifts. Like I buy my own things. You know, like it's a pride thing. Like I like being able to purchase my own things. Like work for them, earn them. But
so
it's a day of celebration for everybody. Like get drunk, eat cake, party.
Break, man, why do you gotta do that to me, man? I already had in my mind like I was gonna buy a bunch of fake poops, put them in a bag, and send them to you, and now you ruined it, man.
Well, you don't have to not do that. I mean,
you mean I could do real ones? That would be cheaper.
How did you go from I'm gonna send you fake poop to I'll send you real poop? Like, what the hell just happened here?
I don't know, man.
That sounds like a natural progression to me.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. Wyland says I'll be a combo breaker next weekend, so that's a definite Sweeto. Good luck, man. Wyland's a really good.
Do you need some? You need some practice? Somebody to beat up on?
Oh, I would beat the shit out of Wyland. I mean, I think we've all established that on this show, man. Wyland, if you want it.
There's no video evidence that he could kick my ass.
Oh, there's evidence out there that I kick Wyland's ass. I mean, Wyland knows. So if you need any pointers, Wyland, I'll be happy to help you out, man. What are you playing, MK11 or what's going on, man? Because I know all the fighting games and I'm the best at all of them. So, you know. I mean, I beat Sonic Fox at MK11. So if you want tips on how to beat Sonic Fox, I can definitely do that for you, Island. So
yeah, that reminds me. Guilty Gear and Guilty Gear Accent Core XX are available on the Switch and PS4 now.
Okay, right on, man. He said he's entered in MK11 and Killer Instinct. If you need any hints, Wyland, I will definitely help you out.
You need to make more comedy videos of you kicking my ass in Killer Instinct, yeah, there is also.
There is that out there. I did see that, some teabagging going on, you know, stuff like that. So, all right, Adam, do you got the gist of this one? You want to give it a go?
Can't really think of anything.
Wow, nothing happened good in your life. I see how that works out, Adam. Just shit.
I did a lot of sleeping this week.
Well, that's definitely a Sweeto. That
not
counts.
Underrate sleep.
The sleep
sleeping
is
and cleaning out my email inbox after I got back from Minneapolis.
Perfect. That works. That's definitely a Sweeto of the week. All right, Eric, your Sweeto.
All right. I got two. And good bit of news after all that anti-abortion nonsense. The House of Representatives voted 236 to 703 to pass the Historic Equality Act, which explicitly confirms that discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity is unlawful discrimination based on sex.
That is excellent, but now does it have to go to the Senate to pass, or what happens now, Eric? Because I'm unclear on it.
I have to actually read the article, but that was the gist of it.
If it has to go to the Senate, you can pretty much be assured that they'll shoot it down, because the Senate right now is led by...
It says right here, it says, look forward to working with Senators Jeff Merkley, Tammy Baldwin, and Senator Booker to a secure passage in the Senate.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it might pass in the Senate. That's really cool, man. If that happens, that'd be really cool. All right, what else you got, Eric?
The other one is that Kansas Supreme Court has decided to protect Roe versus Wade. Kansas Supreme Court abortion now a constitutional right in state. I guess better late than never, but this is from KSNT.com. Court said that the Kansas Constitution gives women the right to make their own decisions regarding their body, so they're upholding Roe versus Wade.
Okay, that's really good, and that's unusual coming from the conservative Kansas just to the east of Colorado, man. Those people are whack in Kansas, man. I used to work at a dispensary, and you know, we'd have the people coming over from Kansas and Nebraska and all these conservative states buying up weed here and bringing it back, you know, probably to resell or whatever, because those states
But this is important, because this means even if Roe versus Wade were overturned, they'd still uphold this.
Well, that's good. I hope more states do that. But
Well, a lot of these states, the people who are fighting this, a lot of them are saying, like, well, we're doing this to give back the states' rights. Like, that's one of the arguments I've heard. Like, this is being, like, we're taking this power out of the federal government and we're giving it back to the states. So it's going to be like alcohol laws and stuff. Like, some states you'll be able to go and get, like, you can get an abortion, and you can get, like, up to, like, right before you're about to give birth. And then some states you can't get an abortion at all. And then some states you can, you can get it after, like, or up to 20 weeks or something. Like, that's what the way it's going to be. Like, it's these idiots are trying to get.
Yeah, it's whack, man. I mean, I see.
I mean, their goal is to get rid of it, but that's not going to happen, because different states are, like you said, Kansas just voted to approve it. So it's going to be every state, depending on where you go. It's like, maybe you can get an abortion here, maybe you can't.
I think
it's insane.
The most disturbing, one of all, I believe, is the one in Georgia, because that one is
like, if you go get an abortion in another state, you'll still be charged.
But my thing is, how are they going to know that? How are they going to know you go to another state to get an abortion?
Isn't there like doctor-patient discrepancy or confidentiality?
Yeah, that's really weird. Discrepancy, yeah. There's definitely discrepancies.
You're turning I don't know how they think they're going to enforce
using the wrong words.
Yeah, the enforcement is a thing. What are they going to do?
I need food.
What are they going to do? Like, determine somebody's pregnant and then follow them to the border of the place and then wait for them to come back and see if they're still pregnant? I just – the enforcement on that is really weird.
Like, if somebody else finds out and they want to report you, they can't.
I guess. Well, that you could just deny it and say, where's your proof?
Are they going to treat it like a don't ask, don't tell thing?
Man, those states are –
the thing that gets me is they're also making miscarriages punishable.
That's
how the hell do they justify that?
Man, I think it's just a ruse. I think there was another ruling. It wasn't Roe v. Wade. I don't think Roe v. Wade is. I don't think that's the ultimate goal, because I think Roe v. Wade is pretty sound, and I think even with the 5-4.
Or is this just a smokescreen to oversee some other nasty shit they want to do?
It's a smokescreen, man. There's another ruling that I think they're really going after, and it was more along the lines of what Brakeman said. They want it to be more of a states' rights thing, and I don't understand. This is a very awful precedent to set for any state, and especially
we're going to choose which states get to control women's bodies.
Yeah,
like in New Mexico, like you're our bitch, women.
Right.
Or in Ohio, you're our bitch. And then over in California, like, women, like, we don't own you. You can do whatever you want with your bodies. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's going to be – it's insane. It's completely insane.
Well, speaking of insane, actually, before I get to the free-for-all, my sweeto is, just real quickly, my girlfriend Bernie – yes, I call her Bernie is back from Phoenix. So she's actually sitting right here. You want to say hi, Bernie?
Okay. Hi.
So she's back. So that's my sweeto of the week. We're now Do you still have time, Adam? Can we still continue a few?
Yeah, I can hang out for a little bit longer.
Okay, cool.
Oh my God, it's 9 o'clock. We're just on Sweetos. Holy shit!
Yeah, I know. So we're gonna move on to Free For All, and this week's actually, let me just do this first. It's a free for all. All right, this week's free for all. Speaking of insanity, what are we in a constitutional crisis? I know I mentioned this before, but I never really put it in free for all. Our president is an absolute wackadoo. I don't think that's a stretch. Does anybody disagree with that, Adam? Do you have any differing views on that?
No.
Okay.
No, I do not.
Okay. I was just making sure, you know, because some people, you know,
admires dictators.
Yeah. I just want to say, let's be clear, he's not insane. Like, he knows exactly what he's doing, because insane people can take medicine to cure what's wrong with them. There's no pill to cure what's
okay.
wrong
with him. Okay, I understand.
He's just a piece of shit.
Well said, Adam.
He's a moronic piece of shit who cares about one thing, and that's money and power.
Right.
Well, he fails at getting anyway.
Right. Yep. And I actually don't think he has power, because the latest I heard, he wasn't the one that was kind of the architect of this whole Iran thing with Iran and, you know, John Bolton, who's another fucking wackadoo.
I kind of disagree with you on him not having power, though, because of what's going on. We have valid proof of him doing anything he can to subvert the law. And Democrats have done really nothing to stop him at this point, and Republicans are fighting for him.
So here's my thing.
Wouldn't that just be an illusion of power then?
So yeah, it is an illusion of power. Has there been any?
But he's still in office, is what I'm saying. Like, he's still passing his stupid shit, his executive orders, and he's still trying to make his fucking stupid laws.
But in reality, Brakeman, has any wall that, as far as like what he envisions, has any of that wall been built yet?
No, but he did get he did get money for it recently.
Money for like how many feet? Like 100 feet of wall? Like it was ridiculous.
100 unnecessary feet of wall.
I agree. Like, I totally agree.
Knowing Trump, though, he won't even use it for the wall. He'll just pocket it.
What were you saying, Adam? I'm sorry.
I think it's hilarious that every time he gets any part of the wall up, Mexicans steal it. They're stealing pieces of it and putting it on their houses.
Why not? Fuck it. I mean, shit.
On eBay.
Yeah.
That's something you won't hear on Fox News.
Yeah, exactly. Only on RP Grinders we hear shit like that. But, okay. My question is this, though. More specifically, with all the people that are defying subpoenas, like in my mind, like right now, as far as I understand the Constitution, and I have read it a time or two, taken a few courses, you know, et cetera, et cetera. My understanding of the Constitution is right now, as it stands, I truly believe that Steven Mnuchin in particular should be in jail. Like, there should be no question about it. You defy that subpoena for the tax returns. Whether or not they find anything is debatable. I happen to think that they're going to find some things that might be questionable in his tax returns. Maybe I'm wrong.
And but he does have a lot of rich lawyers who have been able to, you know, cover for a lot of
right.
His
so that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I mean, he's already admitted that he's deflated assets and inflated, you know.
I know. And like his vocal admissions, like these should be able, those alone should be. Oh my God. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Right.
I'm just frustrated.
So my thing is this, the fact that a person that should be in jail, Steven Mnuchin, for not giving up those tax returns, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. I think it's very, very clear in the law, where it was a 1924 law, I believe, that says you shall provide, the Secretary of Treasury shall provide. There was no leeway. There was no gray area. You know, it's you either do it or you're going to be in trouble. You know, the sergeant at arms is going to be at your door arresting your ass. And that's what I think should happen. Why does not Congress say, look, we understand that you think you have a right to that, but we're going to put you in jail until you decide to do the right thing. So that's my question to you guys. Are we in a constitutional crisis? Some people can make the argument we've been in a constitutional crisis for 50 years. I've heard that argument. Yeah. And I might agree with that.
I agree with a lot of that, actually.
But I mean
– the government, both parties – right now the Republicans are definitely the worst offenders under Trump especially – have done anything they can to try and subvert any rule they can that they thought would benefit their party.
Yeah.
And – but now we've got a guy who's doing everything he can to subvert any rule he thinks he can benefit himself.
Right. So that's my question.
He's 100% in there for himself. He doesn't care about this country one damn bit.
Right. So that's my question. Are we actually in a constitutional crisis for sure that we can all pretty much verify about what's going on in front of our eyes? I'll start with you, Adam. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think we are.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's to the point where if we're hoping that the courts rule everything in favor of the citizens of this country and not for the orange orangutan in office, like, it's – I mean, are we really hoping that – that...
Hey now, I just got to say, like, I've seen some good movies with Clint Eastwood and orangutans. and Cannonball Run 2 is one of my favorite movies.
Yes, you're right. Sorry to all the orangutans out there that have been hurt by – you know, have hurt feelings by my comments. But I mean, honestly, I honestly don't think Trump is the problem. I don't. I think he's a symptom of the problem. We had Bush.
I actually have a lot of that.
Yeah, Bush was another example, and Clinton was not much better. He got us into wars, and you know, Obama wasn't much better. We went from two wars to seven wars. You guys have heard me on the show, you know, say that. So I think
both me and you, former hosts, like, we argued about, like, the executive orders, and I said at the time, like, that, like, Obama's doing more executive orders before the guy before him. The guy after him is going to do the same damn thing. Like, right. These guys keep ratcheting up and they keep ratcheting up. And now you got this power hungry dumbass in charge.
Right.
Who's got the money to pay smart people, smart lawyers, you know, basically.
Yeah.
They can find any, like, loopholes they can in the laws.
Okay. So I guess my final question to everybody, and I'll start with you, Eric. What's the end game of all this? Is our republic in trouble? Like, are we?
I think we're already in trouble.
Yeah,
I think a lot of the problem is we're for instance, what's going on in Ohio? We have an idiot who's running the state, and we don't get a say in the matter. There's nothing that we can do, and the people who are like, well, you can vote him out of office. What are we supposed to do in, like, the 2 years or 4 years up until the point where he's running for office again?
And I actually disagree.
And I'm not using DeWine as an example because, as far as I know, he's not, like, committed any actual crimes.
Right.
But when you've got people that commit crimes and stuff like that, and the only chance to get them out there is from voting, like,
well, and I would actually argue that our votes don't even count in that respect either, Breakman, because in the 2016 primary, Bernie Sanders was kicking ass. And if you listen to what happened and you look at all the articles, the superdelegates decided who was the nominee. It really should have been Bernie Sanders. I'm not a huge Michael Moore fan because I think he edits things kind of skewed, obviously, one way. But there was an interesting point in that documentary that he did about the election where – West Virginia, you know how, like, they do the DNC convention and, you know, a representative from each state will say, you know, our, you know, the state of, you know, West Virginia, you know, gives the nomination to Hillary Clinton, and everybody was all happy. But, you know, there was a small sign in the background. Bernie Sanders won every single county in West Virginia, and he got zero superdelegates from that state. And I can't help but think that he was robbed, and I can't help but think he's going to be robbed this time around with the superdelegates. I mean, if you look at the news, they've skewed the polls to say that Joe Biden is ahead. And by the way, Joe Biden is not even close to being Obama, which is not saying much because Obama sucked. But he's a fucking neo-lib from hell. He's more of a centrist Republican than any of the other candidates. So, you know, if you want more war and you want, you know, things of that nature, then I guess Biden is your pick. But, man, I can't stand Biden. And Bernie's running again, and I hope he wins because he seems to be the only honest actor. I mean, I guess the argument could be made maybe for Elizabeth Warren or, you know, a couple others. But I think the clear choice is Bernie Sanders. We need the exact opposite of Trump. And the only person in the race that even, you know, compares to being the opposite of him is Bernie Sanders. Everybody else is a centrist fucking hack for the most part.
And can I say, like, if you say stuff like that, you get attacked and bombarded. And like, for instance, I said Nancy Pelosi she's weak and she's not going to stand up and fight. Like, obviously she hasn't.
What did you say that was untrue?
Exactly. And I got, like, bombarded. Like, no, she, like, you just hate women and stuff like that. Like, no, it has nothing to do with that. I'm saying that she isn't going to fight. Like, he has committed so many offenses. And, like, I got her overall point that, like, she wants the other side to join them. But when it became evident and clear to everybody on the planet, the other side is not going to help.
Why is it? You have to ask yourself this question, guys. Why is it that Democrats always have to work with Republicans, but Republicans never have to work with Democrats? Is it because maybe the system's rigged so that the status quo is always the same? Or is it because they're actually honest actors and they're not beholden to donors? I mean, that's the whole thing. That's why, Breakman, you and I, and even Eric, you know, we all agree money is the biggest problem in politics. If you could get the fucking money out, you would maybe have at least more than what we have now, some honest actors in the system that would vote the right way and do the right things and say the right things and actually follow through. You know what
and
I mean?
And people that aren't going into office to make money.
Right.
I mean, there shouldn't – career politicians should not exist.
No, they should. It should be a term of service and then they go the fuck home.
Yeah. Yes. Term limits for everything.
And here's
– Everybody
here's,
should have term
limits. Term limits for everyone and get rid of congressional pensions.
Oh, that's yes, a hell of an idea.
Good one. Very good.
You know, yeah. Lifetime appointments for Supreme Court justice.
That's another bullshit thing, man. I mean, the country can never change because if you have a Supreme Court that's 5-4 in favor of Republicans, of course the majority of cases that they see are going to be voted conservative. And I also think that we should get rid of labels, and I don't think we should have a two-party system anymore. I don't think it's working for anybody.
The two-party system's never worked.
It doesn't work. It's not working. People are pissed. 70% of the country wants Medicare for all, but all you can hear from pundits on TV and politicians is, oh, well, we have to be incremental about this. We can't do, you know, shock the system. People love their private health care insurance. I have never once heard of somebody that loves their private health care insurance.
No.
Not one fucking time. So why are they keep blowing smoke up our asses is the question. You know, it's like if we don't bust the system down now, it's never going to be fucking busted. And I think we got a very good prime opportunity. And I happen to think that the DNC is going to do the same fucking thing it did last time and screw Bernie out of a fucking nomination when he's the clear
Biden.
Oh, God, Biden. If you look at the polls that they put out, they're laughable because they don't include people under 50. And supposedly Biden's winning by like 20, 30 points. That's fucking insane. These people.
Well, I'm telling you now, unless Biden does something completely stupid, like the
which
DNC's
he does,
gonna be pushing hard for him.
No, Biden always does. He's got a history, Breakman. I don't know.
I know, but like he has to do something like beyond Trump stupid is what I'm saying.
Just hold his beer for a second because he'll get to it. He'll get to it.
Hold his old duels.
Yeah, hold his old duels because he'll get to it. But I don't know. I'm hopeful, but I'm not. And then another thing that pisses me off is the Electoral College because one person, one vote doesn't mean anything. It means jack shit in an electoral system, man. Like, it really does. Two of the past four fucking presidents have been decided by the Electoral College and not by the popular vote. And that, to me, is absolutely atrocious. And people argue, well, you know, you got to give the people in the rural areas the same opportunity to vote somebody in as the cities. And I'm like, no fucking way, man. My vote counts.
No, you don't, because dirt doesn't vote.
Right. That's exactly right. I just think it should, your vote should matter. And a popular vote should matter, but I also think that we shouldn't have just two candidates to choose from. That's absolutely insane. It should be 4, 5, 6, 7 candidates, and
there's the primaries leading up to that. But at the same, but
that's another
even joke. Even there's still like seven choices. There's still like seven choices like between two parties.
Right. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, like we still need like more parties.
How about when we do primaries, we take the top three from each party. If you want to do a two-party system, how about we take the top three from each party and then go from there in the general? That would be interesting. I'd like to see that because I know Bernie Sanders would definitely get in then. There'd be no excuse then. You know,
the two-party system has divided this country for far too long.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And it does with most like democracies and republics. Like, there's like, for instance, in the in England, it's the Tories and the other ones, Labor
Party.
Like in Republicans, Democrats in America.
Yeah,
like, it's either you're Republican or you're Democrat.
It's kind of cool in England, though. They have it a little bit different, Breakman. They actually have more parties than two. Like, they have the Labor Party, they have the Tories.
But parties still have the most power, most influence, just like Republicans and Democrats.
Yeah, but at least there's a voice at the table. You know, if you look now, there's no Green Party representative. There's no independent representative, you know, like... Yep. Like, I mean, it's just either you're a Democrat or Republican. Look at the bind that Bernie's in.
And that also forces a lot of independents to choose, like, to have to join a party when they necessarily don't want to. Like, I mean, for instance, Bernie had to, like Bernie. Exactly.
I mean, there you go. I mean, all right, guys, I think that's going to pretty much wrap it up. You know, I unless you guys have anything else on the matter. Do you have anything else before we end the show? Everybody's getting hungry and ready to end the show.
We gotta end the show on a happier note.
Like, I know. It's just like
Food Quest is a good quest.
Yeah, Food Quest is definitely good, man. Yeah, I know. There's no real good answer, and we didn't answer it properly in this segment. But you know, that's why we do this show on a weekly basis.
Let me get back to the World of Worlds. Like, so this is based on like the original World of Worlds, like not the. Not like the remake movie and stuff.
It's a direct sequel to the original War of the Worlds.
Because I love the original novel, like with the tripod aliens and such. Yep. And I do like the movie. Like, don't get me wrong. Like the original World of Worlds movie, I really love that movie. Actually,
oh yeah, that's a fun one. But yeah, no, it's 15 years after the original invasion. It takes place right on the eve of World War I. So. The assassination of Franz Ferdinand is in there. I had to research that extensively.
Oh, you mean the band Franz Ferdinand?
Even after like the invasion of aliens, like that the country would or that the world would still progress to the point where an assassination would still change everything, leading to war.
Yeah. Well, and it's a problem in the movie and the book because you've got these different nationalities fighting for this this armed force called Ares that are supposed to be a global defense force, but they've got all these tensions at home and they've got all these prejudices that are kind of tearing Ares apart from the inside. And when the Martians come back, they've got, you know, they've received orders to go home to Europe and prepare for war. Well, who do they prepare to fight, each other or the Martians?
That's
just insane. But you know, if you think about it, the way the world is, it's probably how it would actually happen too. Yeah.
I mean,
instead of, you know, we got these invaders from another fucking planet who have technology that's far superior to ours coming to destroy us, but yeah, we're still going to fight.
I'm so glad Adam included the assassination of the band Franz Ferdinand in his book, man. That's really, really
good. You're a dick. They're great.
Right. Yeah, I know. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying.
It's kind of funny. I learned a lot more about World War I while researching that book than I ever did in high school. And I had to read so many accounts of that assassination because there's a lot of conflicting accounts. So I had to try and put together the most common threads to make something cohesive.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why Franz Ferdinand called their song Take Me Out, you know. So, I mean, that's, you know.
Damn it, Frank.
Did I ruin it, man?
Trying to have a serious conversation. You just great derail band. Everything.
I'm just saying, it's a great band, man.
People, Frank, turning into me.
I'm just saying, it's a great band, man. I mean, the fact that Adam took time to actually include Franz Ferdinand.
I didn't know there were like different theories as to the assassination of Franz Ferdinand.
Frank's so old, he probably assassinated Franz Ferdinand.
He did it himself.
I may or may not have been there. I'll confirm that.
I was going to say, where were you when the Archduke was assassinated, huh?
See, nobody can prove a thing. You can't prove that I was there or not there. So there you go.
Like,
maybe Frank is Franz Ferdinand and he faked his own death.
Oh.
Even better, man. That's even better. Shit. All right. So
real, I knew it all along.
So real quickly, I didn't get a chance to talk about Birthright, Adam. Birthright's another series of books that you're planning or doing. I know you did the first one. Birthright, the Temujin saga or Temujin saga.
Right, yeah.
So that is that more of like a Halo type book or what? What is
that? You know, I keep getting that because the artist went with green. The armor was supposed to be silver.
Okay.
And when he came up with that art, it looked so good. I didn't argue.
It looks good.
Yeah, I was gonna say just for my sake, can you go if it's Halo? Just for me.
Right.
But the
I'm the guy who
plays
a lot of Halo.
Basic premise of that story is that aliens have stolen the body of Genghis Khan and cloned him to create the ultimate warlord. And they're testing him out here on Earth. And if he manages to do a good job here, then they're going to have a galaxy-wide implementation of their program. Mm. And because of galactic politics, the rival alien regime can't act against them directly, so they decide to start their own little experiment with a human child to combat the clone of Genghis Khan.
Yeah.
And he's got these three shape-shifting alien bodyguards from the planet Replodia who are just snarky as hell, and I love them.
Yeah.
Aliens always want to use us like chess pieces and shit. God.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these are
we're more than that, you aliens, stereotyping us with your bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, the book's got power armor, killer robots, martial arts goodness. It's Birthright's a lot of fun. And as soon as I'm done with Weller 2, then I need to start working on the second book in the Birthright series, which is going to be called War Machines.
When's Weller 2 coming out, speaking of?
I'm halfway through writing in the first draft now. I'm hoping to have a draft done before Christmas, and then I'll start the cover art and editing process. So hopefully late winter, early spring, I'm hoping.
All right. Sounds good, man.
I'm a notoriously slow writer, unfortunately.
As all writers are, man. I've interviewed a lot of authors over the year, and it's always a slow go, man. I mean,
sometimes it takes me forever to even think about what to write for or review.
Yeah,
I've said it many times with game development. I prefer them take their time and get it right.
Yeah, then rush.
We'll never remember, at the end of the day, we'll never remember that a game was delayed.
You're right, you know, right.
Like, you can delay a game like five times. If the game is awesome when it comes out, we'll fucking forget about the delays.
You know, you're so, right.
As you said, I'd rather put out a good book than put out a book every couple months and have it just be full of typos and just shoddy writing. I mean, I want to do it right.
Right. All right. Well, this is the point in the show that we usually do our plugs, Adam. So why don't we let you go with your plugs? What do you want to plug? All your books and maybe your website? What else you got?
You can find all my stuff on adamjwhitlatch.com. Everything, all my books are in paperback, Kindle, Kobo, Nook, iTunes, Google Play. They're all available on those electronically. Birthright, Weller, and Vengeance for My Valentine are all available on Audible.
Oh, nice.
And I highly recommend the audio version of Birthright. It was done by Jeff Hayes, an amazing voice actor.
All right.
And he didn't just do a narration. He really did a performance on it. And this coming month here in June, I've got two convention appearances. I'll be at SoonerCon in Norman, Oklahoma, and then I'll be coming back home to Iowa for Planet Funk Con in Bettendorf over in the Quad Cities.
All right. Was George Clinton going to be there?
George Clinton.
No, unfortunately.
I'm just sorry.
The critic is the big guest there.
I'm just sorry you have to go to Oklahoma, man. I've been there a few times.
You said funk. I want to know more. Like,
right? It needs more funk. Yeah. No, I'm kind of excited about Oklahoma. I've heard SoonerCon is a really good con for books. It's a huge reader convention. I've got a couple friends that sell there, and my assistant who went with me to Minneapolis this past week, she's from Oklahoma, so she's going to take me around, show me the sights, and she said she's going to show me what real Mexican food is like.
Oh, so, well, yeah, I mean, for that, you have to actually come to places like Denver and, you know, Texas and maybe Oklahoma. I think there's a good good contingency of people there that can do it upright for you, my man. So right on. Yeah, that's good stuff. Anything else, Adam, you want to plug before I get on to the other guys?
That's all I've got in the works right now.
All right. Breakman.
Well, I'm disappointed in you. We have a guest, and I don't mean you, Frank. I'm disappointed in the people who didn't write at Breakman with your or at RP Grinders with your dear Breakman questions. Like, what the hell's going on? I thought we were saving the world one tweet at a time, people.
We usually have a lot of relationship advice questions, yeah. Adam, so that's what Breakman's all bummed about. We didn't get any
I give the best advice. Like, if you're a white person,
finger in the butt,
and the cops are asking you questions, always blame the minority.
Well, know, I was
the best advice. It's
I was referring to the ones where you usually say a finger in the butt works wonders.
Yeah, those are good ones too.
Yeah,
that's sound advice.
Right. I mean, you know, when in doubt, finger in the butt. I mean, it works. Right. All right, break. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, Eric, you're up. Eric, are you there?
You can. Yeah, I had to turn my mute off.
Okay, sorry.
You can find reviews I've written for games on sites like BostonBasherBrigade.com and TotallyGN.com. I've got a review of Song of Memories on TotallyGN, and I've got, I think that's just it for this week, actually.
All right. But,
I do have a review of Katana Zero up on Boston Brass Brigade. But, okay. Hopefully I'll have another one up of 4:28 Shibuya Scramble tomorrow. I was gonna do it this morning, but then I ran out of time. So, and then I watched a video that took forever, so I didn't have time to do it for the show. So just doing it first thing in the morning.
All right.
Along with Nelke and the legendary alchemist Altelier of New World.
You've been a busy man, Eric. I mean, you're always busy writing and reviewing and all kinds of stuff, and we appreciate you for that, man. Anything else, Eric?
There's also a Patreon. So if you read my stuff and you liked it and want to support me, as little as a dollar would help me go towards buying either more games so I could review or better equipment and maybe better software for recording so that when I do my own standalone podcasts, I don't sound like garbage.
You need to get a Mac, man. They're better for recording like shit right? like that. You know, I mean, I'm serious. I know PCs are better for gaming and all that, but for recording and editing and all that type of stuff, a Mac is invaluable. But all right.
Yep.
Yeah. Anything else, Eric?
Other than that, have a good weekend. And next week is the weekend before Memorial Day, so
hype.
I'll probably just mention that again next week. But hype. If you're curious, you can check out that Aladdin live action movie.
Yeah, there's other things like John Wick that I want to see before that, man. But I'll get to it eventually.
I don't know if I was giving hate to that movie, but I kind of want to see it.
I want to see it too. But
yeah, curiosity just to see.
Of the Disney movies, Aladdin's my favorite.
Yeah.
I like Will Smith, so
I like Will Smith too. He gets a bad rap sometimes. All right, I want to thank all the chatters. Apex Pro Community, thanks so much for joining. Avocado Badado, I love that name. Commander Root, Electrical Longboard, Wyland was in chat, Slow Cool, Zane Kyber, I think is how he's pronounced it.
Zana won't be back next week.
Probably, man. Butchered that one up. I know MXT was in chat. Thanks, MXT, for showing back up for a change, you son of a bitch. I think I exiled him, so he just must have taken it literally and just left, man. So anyways, definitely want to thank Adam for joining the show, man. Appreciate you sticking around a little extra to have fun with us and talk about your books and the upcoming game. When the game comes closer, man, you got to be back on so we can talk about it more and, you know, the progress and all that type
of
stuff.
Or we could see you before a couple of years from now. No, I'm just kidding.
2 to 4 or 5 years or whatever, man. But definitely keep in touch, Adam. And anytime you want to join the show, feel free. We're, you know, always open to having you back on the show. It was a real fun time. So really appreciate you taking the time to join in us today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It was fun.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. You can find me on Twitter at Frank Branches. And if you want to add me to your gamer tags on your systems of choice, it's all RP Grinders. So whether you have the Switch, the PS4, the Xbox, I'm RP Grinders. And mostly I'm on the PS4, but I will occasionally play the Xbox and the Switch. So, you know, just add me. I'll get to you eventually. So thank you very much for that. And other than that, have a safe weekend. You know, stay safe this weekend, everybody. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out. Thank you.
And our guest doesn't know this, but we never let this theme song go
interrupt. Yeah, we always interrupt the theme song at the end.
and Breakman
has cowbell that he didn't play this whole time, which I'm surprised. Okay, there's the cowbell.
I got a fever. More cowbell.
That's right.
I will learn to do the cowbell.
That's right.
I guess we're
okay.